It's a technology Tuesday with Dan Harley and free businesses advice. We put money in your pocket. Yes, we certainly do that. In this hard time of economic needs, we put back money in your pocket. Did you hear that? The Caribbean Radio Show looking out for you. Call 661-467-2407. Yes, it's a technology Tuesday with Dan Harley.
It's Tuesday night. Welcome to another Technology Tuesday. I'm your co-host, Dan Harley, and I'm the tech dude, and Dr. Ed Richardson, who is running the Caribbean Radio Show, will join us later on tonight, sometime very soon here. In the meantime, I'm going to keep you occupied in company here. This technology, we've been doing this show for, almost 6 months now or more. It seems like it's been longer than that, but actually it's been... depending on your perspective, it's been a long time or a little time. So, but anyway, we have open call tonight, and we're going to have, and in fact, I have a few guests that are going to be popping in and out through the night here, through the evening here to the show. We'll talk about various things. One thing I'm pretty interested in is a little company or in a thing called Rely Local. I'm going to have a friend of mine, Alyssa Pinman. She is a Rely Local representative, or actually owns one or two of the franchises in my local area here. She's going to talk about how her show, her business has been, helps local businesses get online and get promoted on the internet. I see Dr. Dev, she's just kind of snuck on here. Hopefully she'll pop in the show here. By the way, let's talk about our new commercials here. Tonight's show is brought to you by a couple of things. First of all, Huawei, whole web conference video meetings across town around the world with the best video conference system on the internet. They also send out video emails through the best video email system on the internet and watch your response rate go through the roof. For only $20 a month, you get a video conference web conference center. That can accommodate up to 100 webinar attendees, up to 12 HD video streams at one time, and so up to 150 teleconference calls at one time, plus the best video email system available on the internet. Huawei, we can start tonight by visiting iwawi.com/Caribbean Radio Show. That's iwawe.com/Caribbean Radio Show. Now for a new sponsor here too, Send Out Cards, a fun and convenient way to send cards and gifts to anyone. Send real high quality greeting cards for one-third the cost, plus you can send a gift along with it. Become a total rock star with family, friends, and your customers too. You can try out Send Out Cards right now by visiting zgreetingcards.com. That's zgreetingcards.com. Anyway, like I said, tonight is kind of open call night. We do have a couple guests that's going to be popping in here and there. In the meantime here, we're going to kind of keep you occupied and a couple of things we're going to get involved with. I thought I seen Dr. Ed pop in here. I think she's in there. Okay. And, as for me, what's been going on here is I've been working on, and by the way, if you look on the... show here. Actually, I think I got sent out cards kind of plastered all over the show's page here, so you may want to check that out. That's a pretty cool little system here to send out cards, by the way. And while we're at it, I'm going to do a couple things on Facebook. And while we're at it here, and like I said, it is Technology Tuesday. We're going to be talking about technology stuff. And what's been going on technology-wise on my end? I've been working on a few different projects. One thing I've been working on for quite a while is my new website, createasiteforfree.com. That's CREATEASITE, the number 4, FRE.com. It is a way you can create a website, an SEO-friendly website, absolutely free. And I've been kind of polishing that up and getting a little bit more exposure to it while doing this, doing that. And by the way here, I'm going to go ahead and toss in the chat room the webinar portion of the show. That's at webinar.danhurleyjr.com. If you go to that link there, then you're going to be able to see the video portion of the show here. I'm going to be firing that up in about 2 seconds here. In the meantime, bear with me a little bit. I'm trying to do about five things at one time. I'm only good at one. So you have to hold on here a little bit. And let's see here. I think Dr. Ebb's on there. Oh, we got Blog Talk Radio CS in here. Welcome to the show tonight. And while we're at it, we are going to another meeting currently in progress. Sorry, my technology is failing me, even though this is a technology show. It happens to the best of us. So anyway, what's been going on technology-wise? I think the big thing is Apple is nothing really dramatic has been happening other than things around technology. First of all, Apple's stock is they're going to be announcing another major massive profit in their last quarter here. Again, another record-breaking quarter for them. More iPods, iPhones, iPads, and Apples have been sold. They continue to be sold more and more every year. I just read an article, too. Unfortunately, for Apple's gain to be somebody else fails. There's quite a few things going on. For instance, AT&T, actually, their stock and their profits have been dropping considerably, even though they are kind of the forefront of bringing the iPhone. They're the first company to bring out the iPhone in 2007. That's actually been a detriment to them. And obviously the other smartphone companies, Samsung and all this stuff, they are feeling the impact of this as well. All in all, you know, it's, you know, I guess you can see all is fair in love and war. Apple, Steve Jobs, and the entire group over there, they did a phenomenal job putting out high quality products. They had their own objectives, and they fulfilled them. And that's why they are the most profitable company on the internet. So, anyway, I'm going to do a quick jingle here and get back to you while we're at it. Hang on here. I think we got somebody on the line. Hang on real quick. Doctor, is that you?
That is me.
All right.
Oh, again. Good evening.
Good evening.
I totally lost signal on my phone and signal on my computer. So I'm sorry I didn't get in earlier. I'm not sure what
okay.
happened.
Okay, I kind of stumbled into myself here too. So, welcome to your show.
Thank you. I always love that. You're so nice and wonderful, isn't that? You're funny.
You do pay to keep the lights on this thing. So. Anyway, I'm glad you're on at least the beginning part of the show here. Dale's going to be a little bit late getting in. He's got a little bit different dinner date. Plus, I have a pretty interesting guest coming around about an hour and a half from now, about the middle of the show. A friend of mine named Alyssa Penman. She has a company involved with a company called Rely Local, which her company is they kind of help small business get online. Through Twitter or stuff like that. And on top of that, there is an online connection and a real world connection. She holds these mixtures about what they call the first Mondays. And anybody, you know, anybody's invited. And it's grown from being a dozen or so people to I think our last mixture was about 50, 60 people. Is that me again? I can hear myself.
not you. That was no. You. Sorry about that.
Yeah. But anyway, she's going to be on kind of in the middle of the show here. It's going to be pretty interesting to hear what she has to say. What's going on with your life so far? Have you been good to Facebook? Has Facebook been good to you?
Facebook is Mrs. Zuckerberg is not been quite good to me yet. I did put out a plea for him to consider all of his faithful bookers, F bookers, to give them a stock option, some kind of a special stock option. So we'll be able to get on the ground floor because I'm certainly the average us is not going to be able to get one stock once this started out. And it would be the I think this would be the best gesture an individual could have offered, or a company as such as Esper. I think this would change the whole face of things and making us feel like, hey, we are part of this success. And thank you so much, Mr. Zuckerberg, for helping or sharing.
Yeah, you think after all the attention we're getting here on Blog Talk Radio, he'd give us a little back, you know, a little in return. So
I don't know. I think we need a little bit more something. I personally need a little bit more from him. And of course, you know, I every single day have to pay homage to his geniusness, whether this came exactly from him, his own thought pattern, or he picked this up where here and there and packaged that, irrespective of what. We have now lived our life in this universe of Mr. Zuckerberg, and we would like to him to show us some appreciation, if I can call it that. That's all I'm saying. I think it would really change the face of things, though. It would really change the face of things. We just hear that he bought Instagram for over 100. How much? $100 million? I'm not sure it was.
Yeah, like that. He drops a coin on that one. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he just bought that straight out.
You know, I haven't kept on that story. I also heard he turned around and sold it too. So, that'd be interesting. Instagram, that is.
Tell us a little bit more about that, because I don't know much about it. As a matter of fact, I just learned about it this week. I think you take your photos and you can do a lot. I'm not sure. You do things to them and upload them back or something like that. I'm not sure how it works, really, but for him to put down that kind of a money on this thing, he has to have some big, I'm not thinking that he's just going to just spend, although he has that much million, just spend it like that.
Yeah, well, Instagram, like I say, it's an iPhone app started off with. It's a bit more than that, though. I guess you could get an Android as well. But, yeah, it's basically a photo sharing, a little bit an easier way to photo share. And
How is that different from Flickr? How is that different from Flickr?
Honestly, you know, I also have not used Instagram, so I'm not sure that there is much of a difference other than Instagram's own independent company.
Why is this becoming such a popular?
Instagram's
so
used
popular?
A lot by Apple, by people who have iPhones. And so part of the reason why I don't use Instagram that much because I have an Android. That's something I should, one of the things I should put on my things to do list for the next week.
They use a lot of filters, so you can filter it and create those illusions. I think that's what it is.
I think so, yeah. I'm
kind of
looking at it right now.
So hear this now, Dan. Pretty soon we're not going to know what is reality. we are not going to know what is real and what is not. Do you see how our brains are being programmed or reprogrammed, though?
Yeah, we're being twisted, turned, and scuffled around. So. But
wow.
I kind of agree with you. You've been had this concern for quite a while about, how is this going to psychologically affect all of us? All this change in the internet and the way things are going. It's a bit scary. But you know what? I read an article up in Life for Me. I got to remember to tag all these articles too. there is kind of how we're receiving media. Oh, it's a TED event on internet stuff. It was a description of how we had received data in the past and how we're receiving it now. In not so immediate future history here, but we would our information would come through channels. Okay, we would get pretty much all the information through a pipeline of one sort or another. Probably a good example of are the mainstream media news lists. Okay, we have Fox and CNN and MSNBC and depending what you like is what you're going to hear. But since the internet came around, now it's no longer we're seeing more data from outside the pipeline. We're seeing it directly from the source in many cases, which is turning people away from typical media sources, such as Fox and CNN and MSNBC. In fact, I'm not sure. This is something that Fox doesn't want to advertise so much, but March 2012 compared to March 2011, they lost 17% of their viewers. 17%. First time they took a hit like that. CNN lost 20%. I'm sorry, no, 50%. Now, MSNBC gained 2%. And now, they're all kind of blaming, well, this time last year we had the tsunami and all that stuff. It was newsworthy. And last month, all we had was a presidential, debate. So that's why people aren't watching TV as much. But to have such a dramatic hit, it's got to be a bit more than just simply not having news. I think that's
Because these folks don't tell me that these folks you have about say 35-40% of folks who usually listen to news all of a sudden stop. They have gone somewhere. Where are they?
You would think that logically maybe they went to another channel, but MSNBC only gained 2%. Plus, if a 17% drop from Fox, that's equivalent to the entire viewership of MSNBC. Okay, and MSNBC then didn't gain 100%; they only gained 2%. So yeah, you're right; they went someplace else. And my theory, my personal belief is they tuned out. They're not getting their news from a mainstream media anymore. It's coming off the internet. So, PD Buck to read it all. So, and I think a lot of people are doing like me. They're Twittering it. They're going online. They're searching. They're getting the information from different sources, including right from the horse's mouth. And they're basing their opinions on that rather than what these pipelines have been telling them for a long time. So, what do you think? Well, I think we lost Dr. Ev. So, anyway, I'm going to keep on talking until Dr. Ev comes back online here. But, this is something that I've been seeing for quite a long time. Our traditional, that's my job too, because being an internet marketing consultant, is to see these trends, and this trend has been ongoing for quite a long time. I think the critical mass is starting to move from television to the internet, starting around 2005, 2006, and this slowly became a snowball effect. So first is a little bit, and now it's kind of going in scores and droves are dropping off. Detuning away from Fox and CNN and stuff like that. Let me put her back on here. You still there?
Yes, I don't know. I just lost you again. Okay, you're right. So am I to think that the internet programming, and probably especially us doing internet broadcasting, maybe BTR, this is where the market is now, and is a time for people to really probably take what they're doing seriously in terms of internet broadcasting, because this is where folks are spending majority of their time.
Yeah. In fact, you're right about that. There's some statistics I get from one of my service providers, Reach Local. It said 2008, the adult consumers, they use the internet more than anything else for entertainment or news. I mean, it's like something like about 52% use the internet, and the rest of the media, TV, newspapers, radio, those divvy up the remainder. So, and now it's not saying that people don't look at the internet and watch TV or listen to radio, but they're more likely to use the internet. More so for everything else. Our TV viewership is dropped. In fact, that's the reason why the cable companies are getting so nervous. And even DirecTV and the satellite TV companies are getting nervous too. So they're going to become the way of the dinosaur, or they fear that.
Okay. What can people you know, those online radio broadcasters or those people are doing their doing movies actually on some of these online facilities. What can they do or to enhance their product more? So if people are not inclined to sit and watch their television, and, you know, of course, once upon a time you have the television right there, but now you have television that is now in the palm of your hand, so to speak, in the iPods and in your phone. So it's constantly going around with you, and it's easier for you to... I think although some of these media centers have their product also online, I think we tend to still veer away from them to something different. Is that how we think also, that we're going to smaller corporation that is more, that are looking, that looks more like their life, their community, more like the reality kind of aspect of life?
I think you're answering your own question. I think I firmly believe that you can see a lot more smaller units out there rather than big conglomerates of units. For instance, well, Block Talk Radio, here we are, you and I doing a show. We got one other person listening, and then we're going to have maybe a couple few hundred people that are going to podcast us. Now, and for us to do this same thing 10 years ago would cost thousands of dollars worth of equipment. Okay, now it just costs us a subscription fee to Block Talk Radio. And so that, to be able to do basically the same thing, radio has changed from, it's gotten cheaper and in some ways better. And on top of that, we're broadcasting all over the world and podcasting too. We're going to be in everybody's phone, iPhone potentially, or Android. I think you're going to, and this opens the market for smaller for other opportunities again here, rather than having to come up with thousands and thousands of dollars to have your own radio station. You can, you know, cost a couple hundred dollars or even free. I mean, I still got my free account that I use. So.
Yeah, I mean, not too long ago, Blog Talk Radio was totally free. Blog Talk Radio just started their payment package less than 3 years, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it that, does this opportunity, the invent of the advent, rather, of the computer helps the average person, of course, like myself, to do this humongous program that everybody all over the world would be listening to at some point in time? They may run across the podcast of this show, that I certainly would not have the kind of access nor the kind of financial know-it-all or the technology by myself to do something like this. And now it's given like almost everybody the opportunity to do programming like this, rather than just the monopoly of the Turners and the NBCs and all of that kind of corporation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, let's go to different technologies that's already matured a bit more. Desktop publishing.
Yes.
Okay, this has been around since the 90s, okay? That has changed the face of publication. You used to, now, if you did a newsletter, for lack of better terms, you're pretty much limited to, it's either very, very expensive, or you kind of relinquish to your local newspaper, okay, and that's what that's the gamut of their business, and then when desktop publishing came around, now anybody, everybody can put together a quick newsletter, set it out, whatever, and there you go. So
wow. Well, you know, I've asked this question so many times, and I cannot stop asking at all, and maybe every time I ask, I still get a little bit closer and a better understanding. What's next? It's a big open-ended question, but what's next in terms of technology? What next in terms of the way we entertain ourselves and inform ourselves? What next?
Well, you know what? You keep asking that question, I'll give you different answers.
But, that's good.
Well, I think you're going to see the desktop computer is not going to really go away. In fact, there has been a long, long, you know, the desktop computer has been around since 1978, okay, with the first Apple, which I got one right behind me. And since that time, there's been many predictions and outright attempts to eliminate the desktop computer. So I think that's still going to be around. But I think you're going to see it, you're already seeing it now, a lot more personal computers. Our phones are now actual computers. Okay? And then you can see that become much, much more powerful. You're also going to see your personal processing being decentralized. Okay? Instead of having one computer doing all your work, that's going to be spread out over the internet goo, for lack of better terms, in the cloud. Okay, and then you're going to see that you're able to access your information, whatever it might be it your desktop, your phone, your personal computer, whatever, or wherever. And then you're going to see a lot more power on a really, really personal computer. You're going to have a computer literally on you, and it's going to be more than just a phone. Okay, in fact, I just seen some technology it's almost consumer right now, where you know those heads up displays you see in the military, you mm-hmm. see that in glasses. That is actually going commercial. They're the company that's been innovating that for a couple of decades. They have a commercial version of it right now, and the price is a little bit up there. I think it's a couple thousand bucks, but just like anything in consumer electronics, once it gets out there in the mass public, the price will drop dramatically very quickly. So you'll be able to see a personalized computer with a full screen type of computer, where you'd be able to just like wearing glasses.
Wow.
And let's go a step further, okay? Let's imagine you can interact not just look at a screen, but look through the screen. Let's matches on a pair of glass, but you can see what's on your, it's like a little heads-up display.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
That technology, that's been around, okay, but I think you're gonna see that really, really kick in next couple of years.
Wow.
It's not new technology, but it's becoming more commonplace.
Wow. So does Mrs. Zuckerberg has anything to worry about? I mean, is there a Don Jr. is going to come up with F-Book and blow F-Book out of the waters like we do with MySpace? Because nobody could ever in their lifetime, well, I mean me, maybe because I'm not thinking on a technological level, but does anybody would ever thought that MySpace could ever be something of, what's that? What was that, MySpace?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Zuckerberg's got a lot to worry about right now. He's showing that the profitability of Facebook is not as advertised. This is not a good thing, especially when you're just about to go into your IPO. And it was supposed to be the largest IPO in history. The people who are inside the industry know more about it. I mean, Facebook is a profitable company, but it's not no Apple, it's not Microsoft or Google. It's a big company. It got some ad revenue in, but nothing at the level that it's supposed to have.
What would F-Book have to do now in order to improve on what they're doing? What can we expect? You have over 6 billion people or 5, 6 billion people on F-Book. I wouldn't probably say no accounts. I wouldn't say people because some of us have 10, 11, 12 accounts. So that number couldn't be accurate in terms of people. So however many people that we have there, what is it that he can do to keep us, make sure that we are nice and comfy there and not leaving in droves like they left MySpace or they're leaving television world, so to speak?
Well, I think one thing you could do with the cash you're going to have is start buying companies that could be the next Facebook.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He's got a lot of he's got the competition there too. You know, Apple is seeing like $90 billion in cash. Okay. Just sitting there, and it's getting that pile's getting bigger and bigger every day. So they got so much. They literally have so much money they don't know how to spend it.
How about, well, we have the Androids coming out, and that gives Google a little bit of competition. What about F-Book coming up with their own? Because the communication thing, other than just being an internet communication, we need to take around that communication with us. So the phone thing...
I think a better objective is they need to control the technology. Okay, that's what Apple has done. That's what Microsoft has done. That's what Google's doing. And Facebook is jumped ahead because they didn't really innovate social networking, but they're certainly ahead of everybody else, including the big guys that got a lot of money. I mean, mm-hmm. Google's been trying for a long time, and then they still have failed. I mean, their latest innovation, Google Plus, isn't quite turning out like it's supposed to. So
I mean, nobody, quite a lot of people don't know about that. I mean, because, okay, we are looking at F-Book, and we're looking at Google, and Google, in our own right, is absolutely the power cat or the dog or the pit bull. We are having a F-Book around, turning around. We see where Google is trying to be F book, and she can make it. Is that something to be learned from there? Because you're saying, hey, not because you are powerful in what you do, it doesn't mean that you're going to be as powerful in doing what somebody else do.
Mm-hmm. Or you could say, you know, somewhere down the line you have to have a little luck.
A little luck.
Mm-hmm.
A little luck.
So, yeah. So, that's a simple way of saying it. But, Google, I think a couple of lessons you learned from there. Just as you mentioned, just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean you're gonna take over a whole other industry. Okay. Microsoft tried, and they got a big old lawsuit and stuff like that. Almost got themselves broken up. And Google's been trying with just trying to innovate new products, and they must have at least a dozen major internet related products, social networking related products. Okay. They still have one edge, though, is they have YouTube, and that keeps on growing and growing and growing.
Well, YouTube, in a sense, I mean, why is not FBook having more of a YouTube kind of a channeling?
One more time.
Well, why is not FBook having the same kind of a channel?
They technically have video, but it's not just the technology; it's also the branding. I mean, everybody knows about YouTube, and people kind of know about you could load up videos on Facebook, but YouTube is branded that way. There's other companies that have, in my opinion, better technology than YouTube. I mean, Vimeo, I think is superior when it comes to user interface in dealing with video. But YouTube, it's like I say, it's not just because you have technology, it's branding it properly too. So, and I think that goes back to Instagram. Instagram is not the first, cloud-based video picture service. I mean, you mentioned about Flickr and stuff like that. But there is a branding along with how they're manipulating the technology that makes them attract them for Zuckerberg to buy it.
Wow.
Make sense?
Yes. Makes sense. Wow. In terms of what would you like look at a because. Is it in their best interest to kind of have a one-stop shopping? Because this is what I was thinking, that FBook would have the more of the, and I think they have it, and I don't think a lot of people really use it, the Skype features where you can really just talk right on there, because I've only used it a couple of times to talk, maybe about five times to talk. I mean, are people really using that feature, and do they know that the feature is there? Because my mind is saying that they don't know that feature is there.
That you're in it right. In fact, I forgot that Facebook had that conferencing option, and that's kind of reserved for Skype or Skype-ish type of applications. So.
Let's go to Twitter. I mean, this thing that I don't have no clue of, still, as much time as you've gone over it, I still have no clue how Twitter works. I've never talked to anybody of Twitter. I just post to Twitter, and that's it. I don't do nothing else but post to Twitter. How is Twitter? Because I know that... some prince just invested some millions into Twitter. How is that going to shape up? And how is that going to be different from some of the technology that, say, FBook is bringing to the table?
Well, Twitter, I think at least from the near future, foreseeable future, is going to be staying on its own. And its technology, what it does, its place is significantly different from Facebook anyplace else. That it would, and that's why it's going to be on its own. It's going to stand. It's going to be. Twitter's going to be Twitter, not bought out by anybody else for a while.
Wow.
So, okay. And by the way, I read an interesting article. I got to remember to get these things and have these links available. Twitter was actually an accident. The company that invented Twitter was actually got had venture capital to put together a whole different type of service. And Twitter was just a convenient way for the people within that company to communicate with each other. And it turned out that this accidental application was better than the application they got venture capital money for.
Oh, so this is a serendipitous fortune.
Yeah, it's sort of like somebody went out there and invent the wheelbarrow, but actually they invented the hula hoop. The hula hoop turned out to be better.
The sticky pad was a serendipitous kind of a fortune there too. You remember the sticky? Of course, you know the sticky pad. With DuPont, they didn't want to do the sticky pad or pasting the little sticky thing that they do. They didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that just came about because something wasn't working. And then I think the young man said, "Oh, let me stick this up, and maybe this will work. I can put this." And then they realized that, wow-wee. What did I just say that?
Yeah, speak of Wowie.
Yeah, Lord, yes. The Lord, the sticky pad. I'm just chatter from Granny's ear. Yes, the sticky pad was like that. So if you're out there and you're really figuring, I'm always looking for that something. Hey, make that happen. Make that happen to us, dear Dan.
I'm working on it. So.
That would be wonderful. Well, but now, what is somebody out there working on now that is going to be capturing our interest?
Well, you don't really know. You know, all these major innovations came out of nowhere. You go from Steve Jobs to Bill Gates to whoever, okay? Hang on here. I think you got. But then again, you have an educated guess. Like I say, I think you're going to see a lot of these, wearable computers. Okay, you can see that your glasses are going to wear glasses that become your your monitors.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh,
and
my
then
Lord.
we're gonna imagine walking around with a computer. It's small enough to fit in your pocket or is a pocket. Okay. And you're wearing glasses, you have a heads-up display just like a jet fighter does, a fighter pilot does. But it's for, your regular life, okay?
Wow. Granny says they already have those.
It's going to be commercially available here very, very soon. It already is. In fact, see, the one company that introduced the commercial version at the CES show a couple months ago. So I think
what do they call that?
Oh, I forgot what it is. And one of those things I got to remember to remember.
Wow.
I'll look it up and I'll have it by the end of the show here. So.
I think that we have to, think about what the world is going to look like. Just start to go back in the whole comic books. And the whole sci-fi movie and the Star Trek thing, this is what is the reality now. It's not no pie in the sky and no little something that you had to be dreaming this fictitious thing in your eyes. It is certainly not that anymore. Everything that we're now becoming realities in these kind of so-called way out of the box kind of a thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, this goes a step further. Imagine you're able to have a computer like that, and you have a forward-looking video thing, and it's able to face recognize everybody in front of you. And then it pops up in print and pops up on you, hey, their Facebook page or whatever, you know. So, or the Twitter, their Twitter account, and, you know, you'll be able to, you know, text them or Twitter them or Facebook them while you're walking, you know.
Chatter Granny says she wants to be a whale, not just a real whale, it's a regular whale though. She wants to be a killer whale, so she have no enemies. Listen, Granny, when you have no enemy, you cease to be. That's what drives you. You have to have some enemy in order for you to do to up your antics. So don't try to not have any of those. Enemies are good. They're not bad. She would just swim and eat. Come on.
You haven't met my enemies yet.
Hey, I just spoke with a fine young man a while ago. I was thinking, it's not the big whales. The bigger you get sometimes, we think size really have, and size do have its place. But the little tiny thing, maybe you have a little tick or a little spider that just keep just nagging away at your fin. that you cannot touch our hole, but heck, it is giving you all that you are going to be dreaming of. So big doesn't necessarily do it at all. I like that. But it's interesting though, Dan. The only thing that my brain is not going fast enough to absorb all of this new information and also to experience some of this. I need a lot more time. I need a lot more.
Yeah, well, trust me, it's almost impossible to, it is impossible to absorb all the information that's coming at us right now. I mean,
are we having this overload thing? Because I've never even seen a Blu-ray anything, and probably that is out of use now, and some other technology comes in. I never bought those big television that they had before, the humongous big things that they had. Seeing people throw them out on the street now. I never had one of those. Up to not too long ago, I had the real regular human being television. And somebody, my son, bought me flat screen thing. And it took me a long time even to turn that thing on. I thought I would have been excited, but I was just not intrigued by it. You know?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a dichotomy here. You got technology that's becoming so far advanced, yet using it has become so simplified at the same time. Look at computers. I mean, with Windows 7, Windows 8, we're going to have, bear with me, I'm going to get a little technically, these 64-bit computers, which is just humongous power. And that's what you're going to have standard for the computers here. I mean, we're talking just right off. It's sort of like going from a 4-cylinder engine to an 8-cylinder engine.
Wow.
Okay. And but you don't really know the difference. You're just going to drive the darn thing. You don't realize when you punch the gas on the bigger car there, you're going to fly off the road. That's basically essentially what we're seeing there with the new era of PCs here coming around.
Do we really need all of these mega? Because I was watching, just turned
no,
on.
No one, yes. I'll tell you that. No one, yes. No, you don't really need it, but yes, you do.
Oh.
A lot of the technology, a lot of the programs and processes, you'll need it sooner or later. But for the most part, most people just do word processing and little, photo editing and stuff like that. The challenge is, though, to modify a photo or video takes a lot of processing power. So that's where you're really going to need the 8-cylinder engine.
Or maybe
replace the 64-cylinder engine.
What is it that is going to be coming on the bringing? We're going to be bringing into our monitors, and I say literally bringing into our monitors, that is going to be require us to use things that we have to be making names for now, because megaterabytes and zezabytes and all of those stuff that never existed. I heard somebody talking about some memories, the memory on a computer. These are some words that they have to start making up. What are we going to be doing on our computer that is going to be causing us to be using that kind of a memory or that kind of a storage?
Well, I'm thinking it's not necessarily on your computer. It's what we can do around your computer,
okay.
Around you. Okay.
Yeah.
I firmly believe we're going to be diving right into three-dimensional technology here this year.
Ooh.
Okay. Let's go back to that thing I'm talking about, the heads-up display with the monitor. You can be able to look through your computer monitor and things in front of you. Okay. And your computer is going to your wearable computer is going to be able to identify things in front of you and process that information.
What do you
mean? You're looking at that stuff at the same time. Okay.
Have we looked at the advantage of, because what I'm thinking, are we looking at the advantage of what this is going to do to us?
Yeah, I think Granny's got an idea. All this technology is really here to study us so we can stay enslaved. You're right.
But of course, we are slave to Mr. Zuckerberg right now and his technology. We are slave to Microsoft. We are slave to Google. We have, hear what I'm looking at, and this is the thing that sometimes I'm kind of worried about. Of course, a lot of us, depends on how we look at this, we welcome it, and we kind of work around it for ourselves and to advance ourselves. But for some of us, we are totally being enslaved. Our mind, you have people walking across the street now and texting. Now, that means you have become so silly, not even protecting your own life, but you're so engrossed in a technology or it sets you up that you cannot sleep with it. Do you know what will happen to the withdrawal syndrome that some people will have if their computer or their telephone goes down for a day? Do you know what will happen?
I spare that kind of every weekend because, as you know, I'm not sure many of the listeners know, I'm also an equestrian. I'm a very accomplished horse rider, and so every weekend I take my horse out. I leave my cell phone and everything, all the technology is away, and it's just me and my horse. And for that hour or so, I do get the jitters going. Hey, what's going on? How come my phone's not ringing or whatever? You know. So, but you know, you can live without it. It's as simple as turning your cell phone off.
I try to, you know, with my phone, the texting thing. I detest texting to the core. I mean, I cannot understand texting.
Yeah.
I find it disrespectful. I hope I'll change my mind about it, find some good use.
No,
I find
you're right
it,
about this.
I find texting.
This younger generation, they're absorbed in that. Okay.
Yeah.
I got a rule. If I gotta send you three text messages, I call you. Okay.
I don't want anybody to send me text message because I think you just don't want to talk to me. Either you think that, hey, I don't want to talk this much. I don't want to hear you, or I don't really have any time. Well, do not send me a text message because I think it's totally disrespectful. I mean, you have people, you have kids now texting their parents, like, say, for Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. If somebody does that to me, that's the last time probably they get to
text. Yeah. They could have sent it, they could have sent it, the joint sent a card and sent a real card instead. You could do the same thing by going to zgreetingcards.com.
I mean, it's bad enough you getting a card, but, you know, you should get a personal visit and
yeah.
By the way,
you can send gifts with your real card for Santa cards too.
Absolutely. but I cannot see. I mean, respect. You know, you have a company, and you're being sending somebody text message. I just think that is a kid's thing, and I think that it, for me, and I think another thing that makes it really, really uncomfortable for me is that I cannot type. I'm not a typist. So it takes a long time for me to, it's hard to put in the punctuation thing. I would have said what I want to say to you in less than the time it takes me to send a message. I don't have one of those smartphone thing that the keyboard is, you know, probably more, a little bit more accessible. You have a tiny little regular phone. This is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting,
yeah.
To say the least.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why with me, I got to embrace the technology, but I also got to be realistic about it too. So,
I'm sure that there are times when it is appropriate, you know, say, hey.
Well, like, say, for instance, if somebody's on the phone, they're talking to somebody else, it's faster for me to text a quick message. Hey, you know what? I need to talk to you after you're done. Okay, rather than call me,
give me a call. Probably that's not bad. But to have a conversation with you in a text, to me, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's backwards technology, you know.
You can text when you are in church. Granny say you can text when you're in church. I think so. I think probably maybe. Can you imagine you can't even put on your cell phone when you're in church? It's ridiculous.
Maybe God's on call waiting, you know.
And now, of course, in the courts, I know down in where I am, you can't take the phone in the courts, period. You're not allowed to take the phone in the courts.
Well, the technicality there is you're not supposed to take any recording devices, and the smartphones are more are that and more now. So, and I remember that. That's a whole other issue. I was going to court to fight a traffic ticket. I knew I was right. You know, I had the Corvette and stuff like that, and I know the guy. He just picked me out of the crowd, just decided to give me a ticket, and the other people that were actually speeding got away with it. And he did the radar thing. He did me on the radar thing, got me on the curve, and he claimed that, you know, we in California had to have two proof, not just a single. You can't just say he radared me and I was doing 48 miles an hour. He had to observe two. Okay, that's the second burden of proof. And all I needed is why I looked at him. He looked like he's, you know, like 48 miles an hour in a 40 mile an hour zone. So my thing, my advice was I was going to. He radared me on a curve. There's a big old crowd of people there, so I videotaped that corner at about the same time every afternoon that I was down there. There's lots of cars. And going, how'd you pick me out of there? All these other cars, you know. That was my fight for it. But because I brought a video, I couldn't bring in video equipment without authorization. So I lost.
Oh.
So. anyway.
So did you get off?
They lowered the fine. I mean, at least the judge, he gave me an E for effort, and I only had to pay a whopping $50. But I was still upset. Man of principle, you know. There's principle there. So.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I love it, though. I love it. I love it. I love it. But in all of this, though, I still really am so thrilled and happy to be here at this time and really have the opportunity to be using this technology and also to have grown with the technology. I remember starting using a computer 20-something years ago, over almost 30 years ago. I don't think I did ever get an opportunity to understand it that well as I do understand, I guess maybe over the year, although have not had it professional training as such. But compared to the technology that was before, as it is nowadays, it is a leap from the humongous house that was a computer to the point where 10 people could lift it, then to the point where one person could lift it, where he could actually rest on your desk. And now actually we can take it in our hands. It is wonderful to see how, you take a look at it on the point of view that how the human being in our time, because of course probably this was always here before, maybe slightly different, but however the same, we have come a long way. We've come a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have. So, and we got a long way to go, too. And I think one of the things you're trying to touch on is we have a social issue. All the technology is creating these social issues. Where we're getting really, really, really detached from proper etiquette, stuff like that. Where you got people that are sitting right next to each other, won't talk. They'll text to each other, but they won't just turn around and talk to each other.
Do you think that language, as we know it, would be probably outdated anytime soon? I know the language is changing and it's very dynamic because I see that we're putting in all kind of different stuff that I can't read anymore and understand when it comes on to the language in the computer and also the texting thing. I have no clue that all some of these acronyms and stuff, I have no clue where they are. You have a lot of little things that you're using, a lot of symbol now to express yourself, a big old long sentence, which some of it is kind of cool. But do you think that the way we communicate in is going to be changing? But do you think that language is at stake here?
Let me break that down a bit. I think that language is always evolving, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
And the more advanced we get with their technology, the more words we add to our vocabulary. I think there was some type of there was some write up or something like that where you go back to ancient England, where our vocabulary compared, let's say, 200, 300, 400 years ago, it'd be considered like we only had 4,000 words in our vocabulary 400 years ago, and then we got like 15,000 words or something like that. I forgot. It's something astronomical. But I think I concur with you that I believe our language is growing more and more, and also getting more, one way getting more complex, but another way also deteriorating.
Yeah.
We're forgetting proper grammar and proper context, and we're shortening our speech, okay, our vocabulary. So if it's 140 characters less, stuff like that. The other side too is if you go back 100 years, I bet you had the same argument, but for different reasons, for different issues. You know, we can talk about Americans and English. I mean, we're speaking a foreign language. We're speaking English, not American. But we're supposed to be speaking. But if you talk for somebody in England, especially in Ireland, compared to America, okay, you may as well be in two different countries.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Are we communicating, though? Are we communicating? Though we are in United States and we have a general language in the computer, are we communicating? There's a computer language. There is now a text language. And there is our verbal language. I mean, are they crossing over in each other and sometimes cause complication? Because sometimes does the text language really translate into our verbal language, vice versa, into our computer language?
You know, I would think, answer knowing yes again or yes or no again, I think our text communication is becoming separate from our spoken language. And you can see that just with Twitter or text messaging, even Facebook. There are some, for instance, it's. You know, it used to be, I remember when I was in school, when you wrote a report, wrote a paper, to make sure you had the proper grammar, you would recite your paper, report, whatever, out loud. Okay? And if there were any rough spots, then you know that was not the proper grammar or whatever. So nowadays, there's no way you could recite any text messages. Or whatever, some of the stuff it's just left as text. You can't go any further with it. So,
does this lend to better communication? You think? Can, for example, shortening stuff in terms of our texting and even the language we use in our computer? Are we losing anything? Are we more prone to miscommunicate our ideas?
I think both. I think we have I think we're evolving. Probably a good term to use. Okay, which doesn't necessarily mean a good or bad thing. It's just how it is. We are evolving from one state to another state constantly. Okay, and so we're able to better communicate. I think in one aspect. Now we talk the whole entire world. I mean, my wife right now is talking to her mom in Vietnam. We're 8,500 miles away from each other. So that part of it, that's cool. And 10 years ago, the same conversation would cost $2 a minute.
Yeah.
And so, but now we're able to, she's able to talk to mom as if she's next door.
It doesn't cost her anything more than nothing additional, so to speak, because it's still costing her because she has to have the internet and our computer and all of that, but no additional for that particular communication in terms of the telephone. Wow.
Well, huh?
That's all we can say. Well, I mean, to the point now, where we're even talking about Z greeting cards, send out cards. You are able to send a card directly from your computer without ever moving. You can sign a card. You can have a real card delivered to you. And you can also, what's the most interesting thing about this, you can create your own story with the card. You don't have to go to the store and get somebody else, Helen, whatever lady, who is a great do all a lot of these Hallmark card and write their thing with their picture. You can now create your own picture and create your own card instantly without effort.
And by the way, too, it's cheap. I mean, fully customized cards go by point system.
Yes.
I guess it's equivalent to about $1.30 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A basic card, Hallmark card from Target or whatever, is going to cost you $4.
Yeah, it's a decent card.
Yeah, and that's not including the stamp. So,
you're talking about not including the stamp, but not having, for you to sit down and write something in a card, write your name in a card, get the envelope, write your return address, write your address. If you're sending 50 of those, that's going to be taking up a lot of your time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I can see that, so.
That is going to be taking up a lot of your time.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, in fact, I can see that. And by the way, too, you didn't tell us that you can send gifts from Hallmark cards, too.
Of course you can send. I said that last week. I just saw an error coming. Dan, I just saw there's an IP address conflict with another system on this network. What does that mean?
IPA, it means you probably have are you talking about the Block Talk Radio or something else?
No, something just came up on my computer. It says there is an IP address conflict with another system on this network. I don't know what it is.
Oh, do you have a Wi-Fi system, Wi-Fi network in your house, to your house there?
Yeah, I have a Wi-Fi too. I don't know
what might be going on. You have two computers trying to share one space, and that's not allowed.
Two computers sharing one space? No, I don't have two computers sharing
one IP address. It kind of sounds like what's going on. So.
So then we have all kind of these problems coming up.
Yeah,
oh, my
technology
goodness.
Yeah, technology too. Let's figure it out. So, but based on what you're telling me, it sounds like you have an issue with somebody either, if you're on a Wi-Fi network, this happens a lot, where somebody's trying to basically borrow your internet.
Wow. We're talking about with all of these different technologies that are coming on. Are we having enough training? People out there trained to take care of some of these problems that will be coming down the road that maybe we can't even anticipate?
Actually, no. This is one of the things that people may want to think about. Network administrators, there's a shortage of them. The more the internet grows, the more people need that. And let's define that. Network administrators, they actually go, for the most part, physically go to the places of concern. They fix computers, they basically deal with networks, though. there's a shortage of them.
Is there enough classrooms? Because right now we don't seem like we really need classroom. All we need is the same technology for the classroom. I mean, a lot of buildings. Oh, and this is another thing. Are we seeing that a lot of buildings are virtual buildings rather than these humongous structures for colleges?
Well, I'm thinking we talked about this last week, a week before, too. I think you're going to see the teaching going to be more online, more interactive. It's just simply going to be more practical. We talked about this several times. It's just the cost of going to school. Okay, that's going through the roof. And we found numerous universities that offer their full curriculum online. These are major Ivy League schools, you know. Harvard we looked at, UCLA, Berkeley. You know, go on and on. So, yeah, I think you're going to see, I fully concur, you're going to see that a lot. More and more and more, where we're going to be going this your classroom is going to be ready for your computer.
But again, what we you talk about not
it may be school prison.
That's all communication. And you're locked away in your house. And what is that going to do for us, though? Because we are social creatures. How, I mean, do you think the computer does take that place for us? Because I'm talking to you, and I know you as if for the past almost coming up 2 years, we've been here talking, and is like. By you saying little things, I get to know your horsey, I get to know your baby, I get to know your wife, I get to know your dad, I get to know you're in the desert there and your environment. Is there anything about us that is going to be heightened, like our imagination is going to be more heightened than our verbalizing stuff? Our imagination is going to be just what is going to be taking over, overriding.
You know what amazes me about you is I don't know how do you ask these fascinating questions, but you answer the question within your own question. But yeah, I agree with you. I think you're gonna use our. It's gonna be. We're gonna. I think it's already happening. Our bear with me a little bit here. I got my computer just crashed on me while we were talking here. I just kind of kept it a secret.
Mine did two times. I don't know what happened. Twice, you know, it just, I lost you twice. And I don't know what's happening tonight. But
got crazy here, so.
It's... kind of getting crazy. Hey, what's new? What's new? What's new? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I think, you're right. I think we're going to use more of our imagination. Here's another thing, too. The technology is there for us to be in the same virtual world for this. You know, virtual physical world. I mean, Second Life has been around for quite a long time. And also, a lot of these... virtual reality games. That's a huge thing now.
Mm-hmm. How does virtual world? You said how does that work? Because I've heard about it.
Well, Second Life is probably the
Second Life.
Yeah, where you could create your own character and live that life. That's what I call it, Second Life. They have their own world, their own economy, and in fact, it's grown. They've taken the basic technology and allowed it to mature. So, like Facebook, okay, Facebook it doesn't really have any really really new cutting edge technology. It's using existing technology but allowing us to socialize on it. Okay, and in fact, Second Life is taking that concept and putting it even further. Not just socializing, you're in that world. And Granny, I tell you something, I haven't experienced myself, but so I've been told there's people that has some promiscuous things going on in Second Life, literally.
Are you serious? How does that work? Talk a little bit about that, Dan. All right, let me just see what Granny is chatting about here.
That's beyond my knowledge. beyond what I
want to
know.
This could pique my interest here. They already created where you can dance in cyberspace. What does that mean, though? What does that mean?
It means you can dance. You get to go out there and and Boogie On Down, stuff like that. So,
And it's seen in the cyberspace? Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. They even got strippers. I know that much. Okay. Now, I'm not sure how much how physical this stuff gets. You can only do so much. You know, it's like watching a cartoon.
Well, when you say physical, how can you be on your TV screen and talk about physical? What does that mean?
Well, you can get your avatar and somebody else's avatar to go in a room and do it. I don't know. I don't want to know what happened.
What is that going to do for you?
I like my wife. That's the reason why I got married in the real world, is because we like making babies.
Granny, you need to call us and tell us a little bit about this, man. Don't be.
We're gonna go in and draft our audience to go into the Second Life and report back.
Oh, I said they're gonna advance it and make virtual underwear.
They've already done that.
Oh my gosh.
There's a company that has created. I don't know if we could bring this up. We're gonna get kicked off. I think that BTRCS, that's a mantra, right? We can't get too far with our relationship.
Yeah, we've been.
Be careful. We're gonna get kicked off of here too, along with Facebook. But the technology is there to if you allow imagination, water, you can. The physical world can become physical, lack of better terms. I mean, all it is plugging a USB port and a driver. There you go. You know.
But we still need the technology of touch. We still need the skin to skin contact. I mean, that has to be frustration. If you're talking about some sexual encounter and all of that, depends on how our minds are being trained and how you're thinking of lovemaking. I think a physical contact is still the ultimate.
Yeah, I would think so. I would say that the real world contact, real world love making is better than virtual love making, hands down. No question about that.
How is this different from watching somebody watching porn as opposed to avatars making love?
You're in control of the avatar, or you're not in control of watching porn.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness, Lord. Oh my
goodness. Oh. Dean, and we'll still get you shocked, you know?
Oh my gosh, I'm telling you. Oh gosh. Then this makes you think all kind of crazy. For me, who is a thinker, who always thinking out stuff, this makes you think all kind of craziness now. Where are we going from here?
I don't want to. That's part I'm going to leave to somebody else to find out.
I see now the virtual thing is becoming the reality, and we are becoming the virtual thing now because you do so much thing. Oh my gosh! So, for example, if you're in this virtual world, and you see you're married to this person, could this person go have a relationship with another avatar? And how would that work out? You would be having my feeling.
In Second Life, I mean, they get people. They'll. One guy. He actually is a woman in Second Life.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that on purpose because he's able to. He uses his female avatar to open the door to some of his clients and prospects. And blank female is able to open doors much quicker than the male. So, and especially he goes in, you know, as he in that world there, he's a female. He goes out and buys female clothes and dresses himself up, and so on and so forth, and does female things. And then he said, time and time again, he's able to open doors to clients, prospects, companies that he's trying to get in touch with, and work his way up to the decision maker pretty quick by using a female avatar.
Oh my Lord! But here is what I am looking at now. How do you differentiate truth, and if truth is reality, how do you differentiate that?
Well, when you can pinch yourself and it hurts, that usually is the truth. That's reality. So, if you're talking crossing over to the virtual world, yeah, that becomes a philosophical argument. What's truth? What's reality? And also, we have an issue where the virtual, well, we call it virtual reality, virtual world is having real world circumstances.
But how do I know who is who and who is lying? Because, for example, in FBOK and all of that.
How do you know in the real world who's lying?
Oh, Lord. That's true. But at least you're around them a little bit where you can discern things, a little bit of things. For yourself, you can help yourself in that way. Do you have to listen more to some vibration? Are we going to be the vibration that we're supposed to be, as a lot of friends, a lot of people who are metaphysical say? Are we going to be tuning into that realm?
Well, I think you're still going to be able to turn things on or off. Okay. It's going to be a decision. It's not going to be forced into it. Let me rephrase. You're going to, for instance, to go into Second Life, I still have to run Second Life to be in there. Okay? It's a conscious decision to enter in that world.
Okay.
That makes any sense?
Okay. Dan. Every time I think about this, you know, this kind of messes up me really bad, to be honest. It messes up my thinking. I guess the way I'm thinking, it messes me up a lot because...
Yeah, but Tuesday night you don't sleep very well. Fortunately, you have your reggae show right after this. So you're able to throw some good tunes on to kind of bounce yourself out.
Okay. This is something else, though. It is something else. Mm-mm, it's not working. This is not working.
Yeah.
This is not working.
Meditation.
Oh, gosh. What was that going to do for us, though? What was this going to do? Does it mean that we're going to be physically changed? Because, I mean, we're not going to be out there. How is our mind, our taste, and all of that is going to change, though? Because there has to be some kind of effect on that.
Yeah, there is. I mean... If you go back 20 years ago, let's say before, how do we interact, let's say, in the 70s? Are we TV set, or are we physically, you know, seeing each other? In the 80s and 90s, all of a sudden, things started to evolve more. Now we have a virtual world we're living in right now.
I think some way you're right, Bernadette, because let's go back a little bit further. Those of us who didn't have TV and those of us who got something like the archaic thing as the mailman putting in a letter of that come from a real human being that was handwritten. I'm sure we have to save all of those things. Those people who have them love letters there, have them properly sealed, because those are going to be some very, very useful thing 100 years from now, I'm sure, because those are going to be after pass. And I think that people won't know how to write anymore, because everybody in school now are using the computer to type. And people are not going to
be able to... I just read an article, and that's one of those things I still got to make sure I bookmark. But they're saying the curse of handwriting is going to become that of the dinosaur, because we're texting and using computers now.
Yeah. So I guess when my great-great-grandchildren see a handwritten, just like how when we look at, what do you call it now, calligraphy? That looks so beautiful to us, and we have to have specialists who are doing calligraphy now. This was something that people could do once upon a time.
Yeah, it was a college course. It was a high school course doing calligraphy.
Yeah. I mean, now, if you have a letter, especially if your husband or boyfriend become famous, darn, that's going to be a whole lot of money. And if you have a letter to be written now, you better not write no letter, handwrite any letter, because a company's not going to accept that.
Yeah. What is this?
Yeah, because they can't even read those things. They can't read those things. The other thing that Granny's putting in the room, and I don't know why she don't call in. You need to call in, Granny. I like reading what you're saying, but you need to call in. I prefer to hear your voice from now, because I know
I'm
later on.
I'm a little afraid of Granny calling in. I'm not sure if I'm old enough to hear what's going to be said.
Oh, she said wonderful things. But here's an interesting point. We are going to be losing books as well. Books are going to become some little novelty again, because Kindle and other technology like those is going to be the way of books. Does that mean that we're going to be saving the rainforest by default?
I would think so. I think that was the objective.
Oh.
So, and it makes good sense too. Let's go back to upper education. How expensive it's gotten. I mean, I was complaining, let's go back, 25 years ago or something like that. Wasn't that long? Maybe longer there. They cost me $380 a semester for tuition, another $300 or $400 worth of books. That same school, now it costs $2,500 a semester, and the books cost almost as much as that now. And the books are no different than they are now. And it's because there's a racket involved with all these damn books. And why? You're killing trees. Okay, I think people have a right to be paid for the intellectual property. So find how much is that worth. But let's stop killing trees and do that stuff. On top of that, so yeah, I think virtual books are already here. They're not going away. And if you recall, we had this one conversation about 6 months ago. There is a kind of a preparatory school not far from where I'm at. They are completely on Kindle.
Wow. Okay?
There are no textbooks. They use they use texts that are past the copyright date. So they're not only just textbooks, but they're the open world, they're free. What are they called? The open source books.
Open source book. So they don't even have to pay for books either.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Each student has a Kindle, cost them $200. Okay. And that's it.
So they set up a satellite in the school, and that follows them home, too.
Mm-hmm. You got internet at the school. They got the books on Kindle. They do have physical classrooms, and they also have online classrooms, too. So.
But what I'm saying, what about those when they go home? Does the school provide them, or they have to provide their own?
I think it's a preparatory school, so they bought their own Kindle. So.
No. Their internet access at home.
Oh, they got to buy the internet access home. That's
oh, this is a prep school. They do.
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah. Don't get me started on hemp, man. That's one of the things I'm probably forward to getting legalized. And marijuana, too, but especially hemp.
But is hemp and marijuana not the same thing?
Hemp is less THC. Hemp is it's probably the oldest, if I'm correct, the oldest cultivated crop in the world. And,
yes.
And also the one that has the most use, you know, of anything we've ever had or admitted. I can go on. We can go a whole show on that. So, by the way, it looks like we have. You know, I mentioned you have a guest night here, friend Alyssa Penman. I think she's calling in. Let me kind of give you a little update on her. She is. I'll let her kind of clarify all that. She is involved with a company called Relight Local. Your company is this company. They help small businesses, local businesses, get on the internet. Well, that's what I do, but they have a little special twist to it. And a lot of it she's involved with Twitter and stuff like that. But she also has these real world get-togethers. And these mixtures have been run for, let's say, a dozen or so people, to getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and a lot of fun. She's really done a fantastic job, and probably the reason why I wanted to get her on the air tonight is to kind of tell us about her business, what she does, and how she benefits her customers and her businesses. So that in mind, let me kick her on the air here real quick. Here, let's see here. Okay, Alicia, is that you?
That's me.
Okay, all right. I'm not sure you heard my intro here, but welcome to the show. It's Technology Tuesday. Yeah, Dr. Ev here on the show with me, and that's technically her show. I'm her guest, but so am I permanent. So, and we also have an audience here. Most of everybody's going to be here in podcast land, so.
Great. Thank you for having me.
How you doing? Oh, you're welcome.
Doing good. I'm excited to be here.
All right, great. All right, so let's talk about Rely Local. What do you do? What does it do? Tell me. Don't tell me.
Rely Local is a grassroots campaign in communities across the country that connects locally owned independent businesses with local customers. So the idea is that we want to make sure that we are giving a voice to small businesses to compete against the big companies with the big ad budgets, and empowering consumers at the local level to understand that they have a real power with their dollar. They can, and that they have to make a difference by shopping with locally owned independent businesses, or mom and pop shops, as people like to call them. So what we do is we combine online and offline marketing and the power of the group to, really make a presence known in our area. Now, we're in the high desert of California, so we're in Victorville and Hesperia and some of the surrounding towns. So we combine an online directory, which is what relylocal.com is, with social media marketing and offline grassroots. You know, if I'm out at the grocery store, I'm talking to somebody and they mention they need their car fixed, I can give them a business card right away of somebody who's a member of our group. or at the mixers, as you said, we call them First Mondays because we have them on the first Monday. And so people, anybody can come and network with other business people. So trying to combine the best of both worlds, online and offline, to make our local businesses as strong as they can be.
Wow.
That's it in a nutshell.
I think I have two nutshells there.
Yeah, well, that might have been, sorry.
It's okay. We got it.
Is this somewhat of the same principle of flash mobs?
Well, not, I mean, I guess in a sense of flash mobs, a lot of times are, and cash mobs, which is a new thing that's really growing, and we are involved in some of that as well with a new cash mob group that's up here. The idea is, you know, bringing a spotlight to local businesses. So in that sense, absolutely. Of course, we're a little bit more comprehensive and more of a marketing engine than an event. But we actually are looking to do some flash mobs for Independence Week, which is coming up here in July, centered around Independence Day and focusing on independent businesses and celebrating our independent businesses here. So we're going to do some flash mob events for that.
Wow, fantastic. Is it that we're saying that, hey, getting back to grassroots, taking back the little mom and pops because they're not able to survive any longer? I've seen a particular gas service station came into our neighborhood, our little neck of the wood here, and they put their business on every four strip,
mm-hmm.
one going north, south, east, west, right at the corner there, and every store that is on any one of those streets, they just came in and bulldozed them down and set up their shop, and there goes mom and pop. And you have this big conglomerate of folks just killing the small persons. Either some of them eventually get to work for them, or they just go away and reside in their little part of the woods as well. Is this a resurgence of the mom and pop, and we're going to be using our own resources, which is the community resources, to build them back? And can we really and truly compete, though?
I do think it is a resurgence. There is quite a movement to, and there's a number of different aspects that you'll see businesses popping up to deal with one aspect or another of promoting independent businesses. I think that the internet actually has allowed local businesses, independent businesses, to work together. There's a number of national groups like Amoeba allow independent businesses to get together and use their power collectively, sharing ideas, resources, things like that. That's important. And I do think that there is the possibility. You may have seen American Express has, which is, of course, a service that many small businesses use. American Express has really put their weight behind Small Business Saturday, which is the day after Black Friday, the quote-unquote start of the Christmas shopping season. And the idea is, okay, you're going to go to, you know, Target or Walmart or some other big box store and spend gazillions of dollars on Friday, and then on Saturday go buy your unique, creative, interesting, you know, perfect gifts at your local businesses on Small Business Saturday. So I think there's a real groundswell as people have continued to see exactly what you described, small businesses being swallowed up by big ones. I think that it's absolutely possible. We've been doing this for 2 years now, and we've unfortunately seen a number of businesses close. And when I tell people about them, they're like, oh, I never knew they existed. Part of it is it's hard to get in front of people, especially if you live in a place that is really spread out, like the city that we're in. If you don't happen to be driving by it, if you don't happen to have seen it, you may never know that a business is there. It could start, be there for years, and shut down, and you never even knew it. So part of what we're trying to do is get in front of those local consumers so they can choose to shop at those places. The other thing, too, is that local businesses tend to support the community so much more. They live there. Their kids go to school there. They drive on the roads. You know, they are invested in the health of the community as opposed to a large corporation, which, you know, obviously is, you know, they may be good citizens wherever they go, but they're not going to be invested in the community in the same kind of way. So
That is true too, but at the same time, for this to really work the way it should work, and it would be such a lovely thing, is that it is hard for a mom and pop store to compete with the ambience of the W Mart or the, you know who they are, those big folks there, mm-hmm. that have a lot of nice, fancy-looking thing. And when you have big advertisement to have smiley face and all of those things. And, of course, you have a mom and pop store. Because of the volume they're going to be getting, unless they're unique, handmade, crafted things, it's hard for you to compete with the big W guy there and all the other big ones who can go out and buy in bulk. Our attitude, our frame of mind, our thinking, and our thought pattern have to change in order for this to have any sustainability.
I agree, and a big part of what we're doing is trying to educate consumers. I love a good deal as much as the next person. I would love to get something for half price or for, you know, a fraction of the price. But price is not the only thing to look at. And if we are only going for the cheapest option, we lose out on a lot of quality and a lot of the other things that we just don't see, which is, you know, I buy something online for a dollar cheaper than I could go into the store and get it. That means those taxes don't go anywhere. They don't get to benefit my community. And we need some of those things for paving the roads and funding the schools and, you know, paying the police officers. So we sometimes don't think about the bigger picture and how we're shooting ourselves in the foot by giving all of our money to chains or online retailers that are going to take it out of our community forever. So I think part of what we need to do is educate people and say, think about where your dollars are actually going and what they're actually accomplishing. Small businesses need to compete too. As you said, you know, they can't buy in bulk, so they have to provide excellent service. They have to provide quality products. They have to make it convenient for people because they're competing on those issues instead of on the price.
Okay.
Plus, there's another thing too. You have another challenge because the internet is kind of a double-edged sword with local business too. You have companies are, let's say, small companies, but not necessarily local, are competing with local businesses too, because they're
because
online
of access.
And,
I agree. I actually talked to a new member today. They're joining Rely Local today, and she sells online entirely on a couple of major websites, but she's local, and so we're going to try and help improve her local business. You know, I certainly buy things on the internet too. I don't have, you know, it's not that I really object to that. It's an issue of do I want to spend all my money that way, or do I want to be conscientious about, you know, sending some of my money to a local store instead of, you know, buy a used book at the local used bookstore instead of just going to a big website and buying it there. So we're going to work with her to not only improve her online business but also her offline business. But she's based here in the high desert. So I'm like, hey, I am happy to help you because you're a family. You've got three kids that she's supporting. She lives here in our city. You know, I want to make sure that we're supporting that business as much as we can. So even if it is online, then we can continue, to support them. But they do. It does make the world a lot smaller. And I know I was listening before, and, you know, the world is shrinking, and it makes it both better in some ways but also harder because the world that you're competing against is so much bigger. So it is something that businesses need to take a look at. I think that all the businesses need to work together because otherwise they're, you know, they're lost. They're competing against such giant ad budgets.
I think, though, you know, I grew up what you're talking about is exactly how I grew up. Growing up in the Caribbean, my mom usually sent us to a certain shop. We say certain shop. And the reason why we have to go through that shop, when she doesn't have money, she can go and get our credit there. So you must go to that shop and support that shop because that shop also supports her when the funds are very low. And you learn this kind of a technique of surviving being as a poor mom, you kind of learn to have that kind of what that does also, it kind of brings you closer together, because when I go to the country store, even where I live now, it's a much different feeling from when you go to the Big W store, which I hardly ever go unless it's really, 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 really important for me to go there, because I have the same kind of, would you say, patriotic nature or supportive nature to support the smaller person, knowing that they sometimes have a better quality goods, and also is somebody that is like myself who I can talk to. I cannot go to the Big W guy and say, hey, you know, I'm hungry today. Can you give me so-and-so? That's not going to work. But if you go to the mom and pop, you might be able to say, you know, I'm kind of hungry today. I'm short today. Can I take a dollar back next week when I get paid? It's still possible. You might still be able to get that kind of connection there. And of course,
I agree. There's definitely a need for community.
Pardon me?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just saying that there is definitely a need for community, and that's one of the major benefits of shopping with your local businesses, is that there's a connection there with people who literally live down the street from you. If we aren't supporting, if we're not all in this together and we're not supporting one another, nobody else is going to come in and do it for us. You know, the big companies are not looking to support our families. They are, you know, they have their own things that they're focused on. So if we're not going to do it for each other, you know, who is?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You got a point.
How does someone get in touch with your business, and tell us how it works?
We are even though Rely Local is actually a nationwide movement, there's little grassroots Rely Locals popping up all over the country. Each one is locally owned and independently operated. So we kind of share a website, the little elves behind the scene that keep the website going. But we are completely entrenched in our local community. So if someone was interested in finding out more about Rely Local, they can go to relylocal.com and find the closest Rely Local to them. And, you know, hopefully there's one in their city. If not, they could start one in their city. And we're a membership-based organization. I mean, it's a company, so we provide services. You become a member of Rely Local. And for that, for us here in Victorville and in the High Desert, what that means is, you know, they get not only the listing on the website, banner ads, things like that, but also promotion on our Facebook page, Twitter, and access to all of our offline events. It's really easy to do. There's no, you know, contract or anything like that. They just sign up, and we do our best to promote the heck out of them for as long as they're with us, and hopefully people become more connected. We've actually seen a lot of that with people who become members, businesses who become members, beginning to buy from and support other businesses that are also members, because they get to know them and appreciate the value that they're bringing to the community.
Right.
So relylocal.com.
And let me add to that, too, because I've been involved with numerous networking organizations, BNI and a few homegrown ones and all that stuff. You know, Alyssa's really doing a fantastic job at getting some people who normally wouldn't be able, have no knowledge of networking to network. And especially when you're a small business, that's very, very important to do. And she's grown from a handful of friends to, I don't know, I think we had like 30 or 40 people last time in one of your mixers, probably more than that.
Yeah, that was a really good turnout at that one. Thank you, Dan. That's really nice of you to say about the event. We have so much fun, and we started the first Monday networking mixer because when we started Rely Local, I didn't know a lot of people here, and so I knew networking is the most effective way to really build relationships, not just get customers, but build relationships. But I had to spend money every time to go hear someone talk or eat a meal that I didn't really want. So we decided to make it as inexpensive, which it's free, and easy access as possible to as many people as possible. So that's why we try to make it fun, friendly, easy, not a lot of pressure, you know, just a great chance to get together. And I think small businesses don't underestimate, I think they underestimate the value of networking. That person may not buy from you that day or even the next time you see them, but they begin to become loyal friends and customers, and they begin referring people to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. Most small business owners don't know how to network. Once they figure it out, then they figure out how valuable it is, and then they know they can't do without it. So.
Now, Melissa, one of the things we were talking about, general technology, and I always have my proverbial questions and so on. And one of the things we spoke about is you have a company like yours. You started from scratch, from one person grows to 40 and then 40,000, et cetera, et cetera. Then Mr. Zuckerberg come knocking at your door. What do you do?
I can only dream that Mark Zuckerberg would want to buy my company. No. I mean, that's a good question. And I, that's why I don't have a problem with big companies in the sense of I don't begrudge anybody their success. I think that it's important to keep in mind, you know, be a good corporate citizen. Keep in mind the impact that you have. You can't behave the same way when you are, when you're the 40,000 employee company that you can when you're the four-person company. So I think that as you get bigger, you have more and more responsibility. With great success comes great responsibility. And so I hope that those businesses, as they grow, realize they have more of an opportunity to give back and be a positive, you know, a positive influence wherever they're at.
Mm-hmm.
It's a couple of good models, even with where at Target and Walmart. Tim, I'm Dr. Vino, I'm a Rotarian. We had, there's a Walmart and Target across the street from each other, where I'm at. Completely different philosophies of how they conduct business with the local area. Walmart is very corporate. I mean, they couldn't care less if we were Rotary. Even though we had our shopping spree with them for years, they didn't know us from the next person the following year. And they couldn't care less. However, Target, they went all the way every single year. In fact, they went ahead and had their assistant manager become a member in our club.
Mm-hmm.
And they made they got involved whenever we had our committee meetings. They didn't have to do this. They sent a paid employee to our committee meetings on this. And
mm-hmm.
On top of that, Walmart, we were spending money at their store. All they did was they took off the sales tax, okay? Target added, they gave us 20% discount, plus it took off the sales tax, plus they gave us another bonus discount, and then the manager every year digs up more money for somewhere. So instead of, we had planned to, help about 50 kids, we ended up helping 70 this last year. And a lot of it has thanks to Target. And Walmart,
wow,
wouldn't even budge.
I think that makes a difference.
Yeah.
And there's not, there isn't, I think it's like a balanced diet. There's room for all different kinds of businesses and all different kinds of shopping. In our lives, we don't have to get everything, and I don't know that it's even possible to get everything that you need from a locally owned independent business. But certainly, just like you wouldn't eat only chips, potato chips, you need to have a variety in the way, in the way that you're spending your money, spreading the wealth a little bit. But then you have the option to shop where you want to. You can say, I like the way that the big W, as you were calling it, interacts with our community, or I prefer the way Target interacts with our community. And then you have that power to actually vote with your dollars, as it were. And so I think that's an important thing, and it's important for those big businesses to remember that. There's an amazing clip on YouTube, actually, that is from Respect DC is the name of the organization, and they did a flash mob in a Walmart because Walmart is proposing to build four Walmart stores in the DC area. And so they went in and did this thing saying, you know, if you're going to take all our money, make sure that you respect us. You know, if don't think you're going to come in and decimate our local businesses or treat us as workers poorly. And I think that's great. That is, not only was it fun to watch the flash mob happen and everybody reacting to it, but it also sends a really good message that we're not saying we won't shop with you, but let's make sure that our relationship is respectful.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, how do you, because these starts off so intimately and really one particular community or one particular group, and as it start growing, it start to lose the, let me put it this way, the taste, the original taste, and start to acquire something more, much less intimate. How do you keep this, or it is not your intention to keep the original theme, to just watch it grow and just find its own space?
I think that's definitely something that, as any business grows, you want to keep an eye to. Rely Local was actually started in by a married couple in Oregon. Who they were a kind of medium-sized town, much like where I live, and they noticed that all of the local businesses were being replaced by big national chains and big box stores. And so they wanted to do something to try and stop that. So they started, and they found some real success with it. So they decided to share the idea with other people. And what they've done, the thing that I think is really key, is that each community campaign is totally has the character of the place that it's happening in. So here in the high desert where I live in Victorville, we have a totally unique set of concerns. Unemployment is a huge concern. I know that's a concern everywhere, but for us it's really quite high. We have, you know, our own unique history with Route 66 and with the green energy. Those are things that, you know, businesses that can be located here because we've got lots of wind and lots of sun. You know, so we have our own unique history and future and needs. And so I think it's important that if a business is growing, that it really does reflect the interests, needs, and strengths of the community. The whole point of supporting locally owned businesses is that, you know, if we can go into any community, we could look, the strip malls could look exactly the same. You've got a, you know, Juice It Up, and you've got a Starbucks, and you've got a Target, and you've got a, you know, Panda Express, and it can be any town, any city across the country. We don't want that. We want, not that those things are bad, but we want the flavor, the natural flavor that happens there in that community. So I think that's just, it depends on the business as to how it is going to happen. But one of the things that we make sure to do is do things that reflect on our, you know, on our community, on our city.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Because when I was traveling a lot, I forgot how many little towns and cities I'm into. But California tends to not to have too much culture when it comes to, you know, you don't know what from one town or another town that you rolled into. Whereas if you go back east, you definitely know you're in a different town, different city and all that stuff.
I think younger areas that are younger, you know, a lot of cities, there was a big housing boom, I think, in the 70s here in California. And so strip malls were, you know, kind of booming then. And so that, you know, there isn't as much history that's still around. I'm amazed when I go back east, too. Like, I was in Pennsylvania, and there was a house from 1600-something, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's ancient. I can't believe that this is still standing. There isn't a lot of that here because it wasn't as populated. So it is much easier to build something new and fill it with major national chains than to try and solicit locally owned businesses to, you know, to fill them up. So that is just, it's just easier for developers to do that. But the downside is, as you said, you could drive through, which town am I in? Am I in Buena Park, or am I in Anaheim, or am I in Orange, or they all look the same. You know, it's hard to tell where you're actually at. And I say that as someone who grew up in Anaheim and loves it dearly.
Tell me, one of the things that draws people's attention, we're so easily bored with a lot of the routines that's going on with, and we want a little excitement. And I think a lot of time, as you're saying, that you don't know exactly where you are when you are in another town. And some of these, the Big W guy, he says, or most of these big chain, they want you to feel like you're at the same place every single time, and you don't get that confusion when you go into their store. So everything is set up the same way, so it's no different from where your original city that you live in is. But I think that each and every one of us, in order to compete to that big business there, is that you have to bring something unique. First of all, there's stuff that you may not be able to compete with them. The prices, maybe some of the ambiance as they have it, how their layout is. But I think small business have to make a special effort to bring something unique that I must come to the little mom and pop ice cream store, because you have a grandmother there greeting the kids, or you have the old, the patriarch of the city there, or you have the little donkey there, or something. I think we have to keep doing something creative in order to bring the difference, because that's what stimulates us.
I agree, and I think that's a strength of the chains, is that I know when I go into, let's say, a Starbucks, I know that my drink theoretically will be exactly the same, made exactly the same way. It's going to cost the exact same amount every single time, and that's what they're counting on. That's what they consider their strengths. But if I want the same exact thing all the time, then that's, you know, what I can do. But you're right, small businesses have an opportunity to provide a unique product, unique service, in a unique atmosphere. They have the privilege and the opportunity to do something completely different. They can, instead of the 31 flavors, they can make 600 flavors. They can, you know, do anything that they want to. They're not constrained by the corporate rules, and so that is their technical advantage. I think that, you know, I go to BJ's Health Food all the time because they carry products that I cannot find any other place. You know, things that are unique and hard to get, except that they're right there. And so I love to go, you know, shop there. And I know that, you know, I was buying Christmas presents, and you know, a few months ago, and there's a jewelry store that I went to, and she was super helpful in being able to find the right products for the people that I was buying gifts for. I would not have had anybody take that kind of time with me for the kind of price point that I was looking at. I mean, if I was buying a $5,000 ring, sure, they'll take time with me, but not for a $20 item. But she took all kinds of time with me to help me find just the right thing. And I think those are the things that businesses need to make sure they're doing. And we need to tell, you know, let consumers know, mm-hmm. this is what you're going to get, and so you may pay 5% more to get it, but it's worth getting that kind of service or getting that kind of unique experience.
Do you think that we smaller business need to be aware of these little tokens or caveat to make sure that we highlight those? Because the you don't have the repetition of the dollar for the advertisement. And therefore, you have to, even in the decor of their place, you know, set it up so differently that it makes a difference.
Yeah. I think they do definitely have to think that. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I concur with that too. If you're a small business, from my experience, I've been doing a lot of my clients are small business owners. Most of them, frankly, don't know how to market. Okay,
yeah.
Let alone advertise. Okay, And on top of that, you're right about something, Dr. Evans. Most of them don't have an advertising budget. They're, and a lot of them kind of fell into their business. And it came, and they didn't realize that even though they didn't know what the heck they're doing, they did something right, which was somebody told somebody else that they did something good, and all of a sudden their business came out of that. And a lot of people don't realize that they need to really tap into networking right off from the beginning. And the sooner they are able to connect in with other small business owners, committees, things like Reach, Rely Local, stuff like that, to get the word out, get a team around them, the better, the more likely they will succeed, get through the first year, and then succeed after that. And I see so many businesses that come in after the fact. They join a chamber. Oh, I didn't know this is available. And then others that join the chamber think, well, okay, I paid $140. What's going on? How come I don't have any business out of it? You know, it's networking.
Go ahead.
Jump in.
I was going to say, I think that people, businesses, small businesses especially, they don't have a lot of cash up front to do advertising. But there are so many free options. Networking is generally no cash up front. It takes time, so there is a cost in that it takes your time, but gas to get someplace, that kind of thing, but there's not usually a lot of upfront cost, and it can go a long way, but it's much slower, so you're sacrificing price for timing. Facebook is free to use to build a Facebook page, not a profile, and you know, that is something that you can do on your own. Again, it takes your time, but it doesn't require any money up front. And I think that there's a lot of tools like that that small business owners can be using if they know. Going to Google and saying, how do I market my small business, you would come up with a majillion articles that will give you good ideas about how to promote your small business if that's not your strength. Most people, my business happens to be a marketing business, so I guess I'm a little bit of an advantage because that's my background. But most people do something. They fix cars. They knit hats. They cook cupcakes. They have something that they do. Marketing is not what they do. So it's, you know, of course it makes sense that that's not their strength, but if they want to have a successful business, you know, taking away advertising is like taking away oxygen. You just simply can't do it because nobody's going to walk in and say, can I give you my money, please? What is it that you do? They're just not walking around doing that.
Hey, real quick, let me introduce Dale. He just kind of stuck on the air here. He's a regular guest here in compadre. Dale, you there?
Yes, I am, Dan. How are you?
Good. How was dinner?
Oh, it was great. We went to Mace and had a bunch of crawfish, you know, or some people refer to them as mud bugs.
Ah, well.
Sounds great.
Better you than me. Actually, I love crawfish. They're good. But
yeah.
We have a friend Alyssa on the line here. I'm not sure when you're hearing here, but we're talking about Rely Local and small businesses and stuff like that. And while we're at it, since we're a technology we try to be a technology related radio show. Let's talk about the technology used to get your clients on more exposure on the internet and stuff like that.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry. I just wanted to make sure.
I'm pointing at you.
I know, and I'm smiling and nodding. Can't you see me? Yes. This is the beauty of technology. The simplicity of it is that most people have internet connection and a web browser these days. That's a pretty basic access issue. So that is the first thing that we do. Our website, actually, we do, unlike a lot of directories that are online, we actually, everything is handcrafted. You know, we do it all for the clients. They give us the information, and we go in and do it all ourselves so that it's formatted nicely. We make sure that they have search engine optimized descriptions. We're using the best terms that we can as frequently as we can, using photos, connecting to their social media. All of those things help them show up better in Google rankings. It helps them give the people who are interested in their business what they want, which is good information. They want to see pictures. They want to see videos. They want to see maps. They want to understand more. Then we use, you know, social media to push out the message that these businesses are here. You never know when somebody is going to be looking at Facebook and saying, man, I really need to find a chiropractor, and boom, there's ActiveCare Chiropractic, you know, being promoted by Rely Local on Facebook. So we use links, we use their events. All of those things are being pushed out and promoted to people who have said that they're interested in supporting locally owned businesses. We also use a tool called Hootsuite to do our posts. Obviously, that takes a long time. You know, we're posting several times a day, and it also then goes directly to Twitter. So our Twitter followers are getting the same content that's on Facebook plus additional content that's, you know, for Twitter only. We use WordPress for blogging to write stories about local businesses, as well as the whole buy local movement that's growing, and ideas for small business owners and what they need to be doing to make their business successful. We actually also have just recently launched mobile apps for relylocal.com. So now we have an app for the iPhone and an app for the Android, and we have a mobile version of the site that is, so for those of us who use a BlackBerry like myself, we can go to the mobile version of the website and easily access it online.
BlackBerry, that's like last year's technology, isn't it?
What is?
I'm kidding.
Oh, I didn't hear you. I missed what you said, so that's all right.
I'm hacking out BlackBerry there.
I know. I can't do a touch screen, man. My fingers are just too big.
What is the cost for membership? What is the responsibility there for a small business?
The cost for membership is $25 a month. This discounts as well when you pay for more.
That's a great little great. I mean, who pays $25 a month for good advertisement?
I agree. I think it's a great deal.
Yeah.
But
you'll be surprised if people don't want to.
I know. I think that it is a great deal for advertisement. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I tell you, it's very very good value that the list is providing. In fact, Ivy Testament, she's got a lot of people who would not normally have, let's say, a website or a web presence on the internet doing something. She's probably a testament to a lot of people, a lot of business getting in line where they normally wouldn't.
I think the important thing to remember is every consumer, I mean, maybe not every, and I don't want to make up a statistic, but a significant number of consumers go to Google, Bing, Yahoo, whatever their preferred search engine is, and look up a business before they go. They're not generally looking in the newspaper for businesses. They're certainly not using the Yellow Pages, maybe as a doorstop, but they are going online looking for this information. And so even if you're a business where you're like, why would we need to be online? Because your customers are looking for you. And, you know, what we're doing, this listing, is could be somebody's website because it has photos, it has contact information, it has a map, it has a place for reviews, you can do coupons, you can use your videos that are on YouTube, although if you don't have a website, maybe YouTube is beyond what you're able to do anyway. But, you know, we can have all of those things that a website would entail, and you don't have to actually do any of it. You just got to get me the information, and I'll put it together for you. So it makes it as easy as possible for people who are like, I would love to be on Facebook, but it scares me. I hear there's, you know, viruses on there or whatever. You know, people who are afraid of using social media. It gets them in the door and shows them that, yes, there are people here. You will have people asking questions and looking for more information through these channels. It's not something to be afraid of. You know, so it's really an opportunity to, as you said, get them online, even though they might not otherwise have been on there at all.
Yeah, quite often people, you know, small businesses need to get online. The first same thing is they need a website.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to advertise. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be nice to have a website, but you really need to get out there and make sure you're and there's so many different options now to get online without a website. I'll be upfront to say that.
Facebook page can serve as a website for a lot of businesses.
fact, I got one of my clients. She's been in business for like 5 years. Doesn't have a website. She got plenty of business coming in with what I'm doing there. But the whole thing there. But yeah, you've done a fantastic job here. And like I said, I see her Rely Local, Rely Victorville. I think you got a Twitter account, Rely Victorville. Rely Victorville,
yes,
right?
Rely Victorville is our Twitter account. Yeah.
Yeah, I see your postings quite often here, and that's good too. That means that you did a great job, especially for only $25 a month. You know.
Well, thank you very much. We love small businesses. So. Say again.
I charge a whole heck of a lot more than that.
Well, you know, it is. We also have other services that we do for people. I mean, I've done social media tutorials where I sit down and teach somebody for a couple hours how to get on Facebook, how to get on Twitter, how to use LinkedIn. You know, I'll sit down and do one-on-one training with them, and it's, you know, not very expensive to do. That way, you don't have to embarrass yourself in front of people, or, you know, ask your kid or your grandkid how to do it. You know, we do all those kinds of things for businesses because we want to see them succeed, and we don't want, we certainly don't want cost to be a reason. We're a small business too, so we know exactly how it is to be like, wow, I hope somebody pays their bill today so that I can make a payment on, you know, the tools that we use. You know, that's totally understandable, so we want to make it as reasonable and affordable for people as it can be.
Awesome. How'd you start at Rely Local? How'd you find this business, this company?
You know, actually, I was looking online. I had just moved to the area and was looking online for jobs for a couple family members, actually, and I was on Indeed.com and came across this. And, you know, a lot of online businesses, they're a little shady, maybe a little scammy. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, give us this money and you'll have all this business. So I did some investigation and looked into it, and you know, my parents have had small businesses my entire life. My background in education are in marketing. And this kind of was the best of both worlds. I love to support small businesses, and I love to do marketing. So it just seemed like a perfect fit. And that was 2 years ago, actually. I think it was almost exactly 2 years ago. We launched in June of 2010, so it'll be our two-year anniversary coming up here in a little while. So I happened to find them on Indeed.com. And we actually have local job postings powered by Indeed on our website as well.
Cool.
So we really like Indeed.
Well, like I said, I got to hand it to you. You've done a fantastic job at building this thing up virtually nothing.
Yes, I'm the queen of bootstrapping. I just called myself that. The queen of bootstrapping, yes.
So, anyway, Dale, you have any questions while we're at it?
Yeah, I'm looking kind of at your website here. In fact, when Dan was asking how'd you get started, I felt like he could see my computer because I was reading your first tab about Rely Local, and it was, you know, how I got started, right? Reading the copy stuff. How do you typically approach folks? Do you go through chambers, or how do you typically let folks know about you?
We are, most of our business actually has been built up through networking, which is, our growth curve has been a little flatter than, you know, than I would like, but the amazing thing is that because I've been using networking as a way to connect with clients, we have amazing relationships with our customers. I mean, many of them are good friends of mine now, actually, because we've spent so much time face-to-face talking about not just their business, but also their lives and who they are and the state of our community and, you know, these things. So that's the biggest way that we have built clients. Facebook is another way. I've really connected with a lot of people. You know, of course, the benefit for me is all my clients are local. I can only actually work with people that are within a prescribed area. And so I don't have to go very far to find my clients, and I don't have to worry about anyone else beyond those city limits. But the you know, I friended so many people in the area on Facebook and gotten to know them, and so now when I run into them out in the community, it's like, oh my gosh, I finally get to meet you. This is so exciting. So our Facebook page is another way in which we have connected with a lot of customers, of our clients. Referrals are also a big way.
How many folks would you say is part of your family?
We generally have an average of about 40 members at any given time. People have, you know, started and stopped and started again, depending on how their business is doing. And we actually, Terry Blaylock is my colleague, and she started out with us actually as a sales rep, and then she lives in Hesperia, and so she decided to start Rely Local in Hesperia. And so she does, just like I do for Victorville, she and Adelanto, Phelan, and Hellendale, she does for Hesperia, Oak Hills, and Summit Valley. So she has members there as well. I couldn't tell you exactly how many she has right now. They just launched in July.
Yeah, let me ask.
Say again.
Terry used to work for Yahoo. Quite instrumental in the early stages of Yahoo as well. She takes a wealth of knowledge and experience from the early ages of the internet and all that stuff.
She was in the golden era.
You know.
She's been amazing to work with because she also has worked with some other companies where this was her territory up here. So she has a lot of connections and knows a lot of people. And she's got an amazing commitment to Hesperia and to the community, you know, doing all kinds of community events, very big in Relay for Life. You know, so that is, she's the exact picture of why we do what we do, because we love this area, we love the people we live near, and we want to be a positive contribution to the community.
You know, it seems to me that you have had a lot of experience talking to a lot of these small business owners. What would you say are some of the top challenges that
What are some of the top challenges that they're facing? Is that what you asked?
Yeah.
I think across the board, people feel that they do not have enough business. They don't have enough customers. They're not getting enough people coming in the door or picking up the phone. And the challenge with locally owned businesses who intend, you know, say the coffee house or the wine bar or the you know, Mexican food restaurant that want people to come in the door, it is just awareness, getting in front of people. And without advertising, unless you have the most amazing location where they're driving by you every day, there is no way for people to know that you're there. And so I think that they don't want to hear necessarily that the answer is more advertising, because that costs money and they don't have a lot of money coming in. So it's kind of a catch-22. You got to spend money to make money, but how do you spend money if you're not making any money? Which is why I think using free options is important.
Yeah. I should add, too, is a lot of people look at traditional advertising before.
Yes.
You know, they know they need to be online, but they fall back to traditional advertising. That's why the phone book still sell ads.
Right.
And unfortunately, they know better. I mean, they know. In fact, one of my clients told me blue face. Okay, your customers are not 85 plus. Living it, you know. they're online. They got smartphones and stuff like that. They're not gonna look at the phone book, but you still drop $1,500, $2,000 on a full page ad.
I'm flabbergasted by how much people spend on the yellow pages. Flabbergasted.
Yeah, and it says, you know what? You can spend that with me and make me many times more back. Well, anyway, but in fact, that's. I'm sorry to jump in there. I agree with you that you know, the advertisers need to advertise. They tend to go in the wrong direction. And like Alyssa and I, we have to catch those people before they make those wrong decisions. So.
Yeah, and the I think too, people feel like I hear a lot of complaints about the economy in general, and people don't want to spend money. They're cheap. They're whatever. There's a lot of complaints that small business owners have about customers. Customers have the same complaints about them, that the service is bad, the prices are too high for what you get, the atmosphere is dreary. You know, they have these things. People, if they're going to spend their money with you, they want the experience. They want to feel like it's a really great option, and why would I go anywhere else? And I think that sometimes we forget that as small business owners because we're just trying to survive day to day. So the most successful people that I see have a great attitude and they're excited to be doing what they're doing. They're positive and they make their customers feel like $1 million just for walking in the door. So I think that is something that small business owners need, you know, that's within their control. The economy is not within their control. Joblessness is not within their control, but their attitude and how they approach their customers is. And choosing to take advantage of as many free and low-cost items as they can is important until such time as they can afford. I mean, it would be great. I'd love to have lots of radio advertising, and I'd love to have a giant billboard. There's a billboard I've had my eye on coming into our area that I'm like, man, I want to get a billboard up there. But that is ridiculously expensive. There's no way that I could afford to do it right now. So until such time as I can do that, I'm going to keep plugging away using the internet and using networking and talking to people wherever I go and putting a sticker on my car and all those kinds of things until, you know, I've made enough money that I can do those kinds of big over-the-top traditional media promotions.
Well, I think the other side, too, is your by nature of business, the best your best advertisement is always going to be networking anyway. So
yeah, definitely.
Yes, it sounds like to me that with your work with Rely Local, that you are the small-town business consultant. And from listening to you, a large part of what you're doing is helping these people focus on things that they can change. And, you know, making a difference, but also helping them, I think, connect with what is the purpose by which they originally went into this business. And as long as I think a person can connect with that purpose, which is a noble one, it kind of helps them to maintain a positive outlook and enhance the customer experience.
Definitely. There's a pizza place that I used to – they're unfortunately closed now, but there's a pizza place that we had gone to. And I went in and I was looking for businesses to interview for my blog. And I talked to the owner and I was like, hey, you know, would you be interested in being interviewed for this blog? It's free to you and it's a little, you know, a little promotion for your business. And he went into this tirade about the economy and how terrible customers are and just – all this negativity, and I felt really bad for him because obviously he'd been struggling, and sure enough, a few months later they closed, and I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm here trying to give you money and trying to, like, why are you dumping all this negativity on me? This really makes me scared, and I want to run away. And I think that when you talk to a business owner and ask them questions about what it is that they do, whether it's doing hair or fixing cars or fixing computers, when you talk to them about why it is they do what they do, they light up. And they get excited, and that is what people want to connect with. So, and I have a blast doing it. I mean, it's really fun to get to know. We have a Passion Parties consultant that's a member, and she is just so excited about the stuff that she does. And she talks about things that nobody else will talk about, and it's amazing to get to have a conversation with her because I come away just thrilled that she's the person doing that because she is so obviously perfect for it. And you just feel like, ah, all is right in the world when, you know, Roxy is selling Passion Party stuff. So it really is a benefit for people. So for us, that's really fun. And any way that we can help businesses, we love to do it. I love to problem solve and brainstorm, and clearly I love to talk. So those are all things that we love to get done for small businesses.
It just strikes me.
You want to elaborate on the Passion Parties?
Say again?
You want to elaborate on the Passion Parties?
maybe not. I'm not sure who all will be listening, so
yeah,
you can look them up.
Yeah. You'll be kind of podcast for the next 10 years. But,
yeah.
I think
you experienced a deaf spot with Dan. You know, he couldn't get past the Passion Party when the rest of your time.
I might have Passion Parties. I didn't know what one was until she told me, actually a pretty good business model. That particular company's been around for quite a while, doing what they've been doing for quite a long time. They're good at it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and Roxy, my client, has been doing it, I think, for like 8 years maybe. Definitely a number of years, which in a direct sales business is that's a long time. A lot of people come in, they do it for 6 months, and then get out. So she's been doing it for a significant period of time, which is why she's such a professional at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in listening to you, one of the things that I am always reminded of is that it seems like some of the most successful people are driven by a purpose that's a noble one. So, you know, even though the guy, I mean, when you get down to why is it they're doing what they're doing, they're driven by some purpose, and kind of helping people rediscover that purpose will help them to give them that endurance.
Yeah, and it sets them apart from other people. Even the most mundane kinds of businesses, you know, a cleaning business or, you know, something like that, they often people are saying, well, this is a skill set that I had. It's something I knew I could do, but I really wanted to be able to give some of my profits to a local charity or to, you know, use green products and make sure that we were doing it in a way that benefits the earth. Or, you know, they have, as you said, a noble purpose. They have some element of it that isn't just I need to feed my family, but also I want to do it in a way that I'm proud, that I can be proud of. And that is something that, again, as we were talking earlier, you are not going to find with a lot of national chains. Not that they have, you know, nefarious purposes in mind, but they just are too big. They can't help but stomp through a town, and the smaller businesses can be a little bit more mindful of that and should be more mindful.
There are reasons why people live in these small towns, and they have some sense of community or something that draws them there. And, you know, that's part of that whole kind of purpose for being a small business owner in that small town. You know, I grew up in a small town in Oklahoma, and it seems like there are some unique qualities to being a part of a small town that some people, if you've never lived in a small town, you can't quite relate. But it is an interesting culture, if you will, to living in a small community, and aspects of it that are quite appealing.
I agree. And I think that, you know, in terms of population, Victorville, where I live, is actually a pretty large city. You know, I think it's over 100,000, maybe 104,000, something like that. So it's actually a big town. Now, in Southern California, it's kind of small. But if you put that same city in say in Oklahoma, it would be one of the bigger cities. So context is everything, I guess. But a lot of people have moved here from somewhere else because of cost of living, and when they come in, they think there's nothing here, which is really sad. In fact, I was guilty of that myself. My parents moved here first, and all I saw was what I called Restaurant Row, which is all these national chain restaurants. And it took me a while before I realized that in between the big neon signs, there's these little guys. And those little guys reflect the real culture of the community. And I think that is something that people miss. And so that's what we're excited to show them is, oh, you didn't know that there's a wine bar, a really, you know, classy place that's here, or another one over there. There's, you know, there's places that you can go instead of going back down the hill, we call it, which is back to the other larger cities, maybe an hour away, that you can stay here in town and do those things. And so we're trying to rebuild some character here in the city. It's there already, but I guess we're trying to reveal it more. And help connect people with their neighbors, help connect people to what's happening in their town. Because that's otherwise there is no point in living in a place that's smaller, you know, if it's not going to provide you, you know, some of that benefit, which is people will know you, people will, you know, work with you, people will support what you're doing, people will get excited about your little league team or, you know, whatever. Those are things you're not going to get in a big city.
You know, I live in the Dallas Fort Worth area, and there was an experience I had one time where we were just driving somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, and we just stopped off at this cafe, and all the local people were there, and they had all brought their musical instruments, and they were just having a small town musical jam, and I just happened to wander into this and take part in it. And when I left, everybody was like, well, come back. It was glad to have, you know, it was really a sense of having an experience that I could never have anticipated. But, you know, it's you get out of the small town and then you kind of come back and kind of reconnect with some kind of a community that you realize that that's kind of cool. And I think that's some parts of the Rely Local that have that that aspect of community.
I think that's amazing, and that's exactly right. That those things are not going to happen. That experience is never going to be replicated anywhere else, and that's amazing. I love to hear stuff like that.
Speaking of experience here, the little kind of the sidetrack a little bit. I had a kind of a Twilight Zone experience. One time I was going with one of my associates in St. Louis, and we were en route back. I had an 8 o'clock flight out of St. Louis, and we were at a town about an hour outside of St. Louis. It's a small town. You know, if those Midwestern towns are kind of cookie cutter, but a different thing. You have your town square with the gazebo in the middle, and the circle thing, and all of this comes to the side there. And there was this one restaurant off to the side, bar/restaurant. And we got there about just before 3 o'clock. And my associate said, "Let's get you fed before we get you on the plane. We have plenty of time to get to the airport." I get in there, and the lady comes up to you. "Oh, y'all ain't from here, are you?" "No, we're out of town." "Well, welcome." I forgot what the name of the town was. Is "Y'all here for Wapner?" "No, we're just here to eat." "Okay, well, Wapner's on at 3. Okay. And there was nobody in the restaurant, just him and I. Okay, my associate and the waitress. And we started talking. We got our food and talking. All of a sudden, the TV set turned on, and they had Judge Wapner, People's Court, on there. And we started talking a little bit more, and then I looked around about 3:05, and the whole place is full.
Oh, my God.
Everybody just kind of walked in and sat down and started watching Wapner. I told my friend, I says, "We need to get out of here. This is too weird." But it was kind of...
I joined the Wapner party.
Yeah, in the whole place, I swear, it was empty. And like at 3 o'clock, people just walked in and sat down and started watching Wapner. For the life of me, I still don't know what the heck happened. Why?
That is funny.
Like, I had been missing something, and it's Judge Wapner. I'd never realized it before.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll go do a road trip, go find that town, and go figure it out. So.
Yeah, we'll go walk there together.
But hey, another thing too, Alyssa, you mentioned about the possibility of doing your own Blog Talk Radio show.
Uh-huh.
And I got to tell you, you did a pretty good job as a guest here.
Thank you. Hey, give me a microphone. I love to talk. Well, you know, I think that something that would be great is to talk more about the benefits of the buy local movements and, you know, small businesses. So that's something that I've always been interested in. But maybe someday soon we'll do that, and we'll have to have you guys back on that show to talk about your businesses.
Sure.
I know Dan. I've learned a lot from him around free or almost free ways to advertise on the internet. You know, that would be real good for all your your local folks to kind of figure out ways to use the internet to advertise in creative ways and things. I've learned a lot from him. And
I got to put those webinars up again too. Probably next week's gonna be the first one. So
we've done several on that. We've done some things on you know, using Twitter and Facebook and WordPress to kind of create blogging and kind of different things. So
mm-hmm.
I could see how a lot of these folks could really benefit from some of that information and knowledge.
Yeah, I think he's doing a lot of great things and things that I would love some of my clients to take note of, because it's stuff that they need to be doing. It's just daunting for people, I think. It's a little intimidating. So if they can have somebody guide them through, I think that's important. So we got to get the word out about that.
I will do it.
Go on, Dale. Now, by the way, we just got to jump in and talk. So if you haven't figured that out yet. All right, Dale, your turn.
I'll give a quick plug for My Meeting Pro, which is a product that I have created, an app that will allow, and for, I think we've got them on sale right now for 99 cents, but it's an iPad app that helps people run better meetings, better documenting agreements with their small staffs. And a lot of these small businesses, you know, whether it's figuring out a work schedule or discussing priorities with your staff. You know, it's a great way to save some time in documenting meeting agreements.
Mm-hmm. Nice plug. By the way, hang on here. You don't have Skype. Okay. Anyway. Okay.
What are you doing, Dan? Are you sending out a Morse code or something?
Yeah, we're texting behind your back.
Do you hear a beep happening? My phone is actually that I'm calling in on, and this is my second phone. This is what happens when you use old technology like telephones. It drives me crazy. Is actually beeping to tell me that it's about to die. So I'll let you guys finish up your show. But Dan, I just wanted to say thank you so much for having me on.
You're very, very welcome. And watch you, before your phone dies, why don't you plug Rely Local again real quick, and we'll say goodbye.
Sure. ReliLocal.com, connecting local customers with local businesses. And we are a grassroots campaign that is sprouting up in communities all over the country. I happen to be in the high desert in Southern California. And so we are trying to help small businesses compete with national advertising campaigns. So check out ReliLocal.com and see if there's one in your town. And if you're a small business owner or interested in starting a business and there's not one there, not a Rely Local there, you can start one up.
All right.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast, and I love hearing what you guys have to say. So hope to talk to you guys again in the future.
Okay. Yeah. We'll have
right.
you on again. Okay.
Sounds
have
good.
A
Thanks,
night.
Guys. Have a good evening. Bye.
You too. All right. Well, that was pretty entertaining there. So,
yeah,
what'd you get out of
it? Elisa or Alyssa?
It's Alyssa.
Alyssa? How did you get to know Alyssa? How did this come about?
Well, she attended, kind of early on, she attended one of my networking groups, and mine was kind of on the way out as she was kind of kicking hers in. In fact, a lot of the people attend her her mixers had been in my group, so and that's why I know she's done a pretty good job, because it's a daunting task just trying to keep a networking group together. So to do that along with the promotional stuff she's doing with Rely Local, she's got to give her kudos, and also kind of do it from nothing. So she really went from zero to what she's got now. She's done a very good job, a very reputable climb to where she's at now. So
it sounds like she's really passionate about what she does, and you know that I'm sure that's what drives her, is that
that's 9/10 of the battle. If you don't have passion with what you're doing, you're going to fail. So
I hear you.
Yes, it does. So, but. Anyhow, we got, about 13 minutes left on the tube here. Dr. Ev, you...
We're here.
You want to bring up anything about, you know what, I fixed up... I hope you've been seeing the show's website. I've sent out cards here and there and everywhere.
I saw that. You know I'm excited. Mother's Day is coming up. And I'm just so excited about those of you who have old pictures of Mama. All you have to do is scan them and create a surprise greeting card unique to Mother. What you can do is create a card using some of your very, very younger pictures. you doing some antic things that would give her some laughter. And this is what this is all about. So I hope some folks would be just getting an opportunity to get some of the cards and create their own cards using Sendout cards. And, of course, the proceeds from these cards goes towards our Dele Vega City Basic School, where we are trying to keep a little school there open. 70, 75 kids are there. Right now we're trying to get some funds to just make even a little dining room for them. We were able to give them a nice little check about a month ago, but they're still in need for a little bit more funds to finish up that little area for the kids to eat in, or else they would be closed. So any effort on your part to use the system or to donate to our Caribbean Radio Show .com PayPal account would be something that the kids would definitely give you great, great joys of laughter and happiness. And the fact that they can still be in school, it would be a wonderful gesture. So I thank you in advance. If you can use those, use the card company to sell your Mother's Day cards. And I guess once you do send your first card, you'll be hooked. Trust me, you'll be hooked.
Yeah, there's Father's Day coming up too, and people's birthdays.
Yeah. Father's Day, all the folks' birthday. Or just say hi. Just to say hi.
You got it.
Well, that's great. It sounds like it's a very worthy cause that you're a part of, Dr. Ev, and it's always encouraging to me to hear about them. I just got back from Oklahoma, Dan, and my father, it was his 85th birthday.
Oh.
85th birthday?
Wow.
He was 85 years old. And he was late for going out to dinner because he was delivering a calf.
Delivering a cow?
He's 85 years old, and he was delivering a calf. And all weekend long, the calf was unable to stand up. And my father, who's 85, was milking a wild cow and feeding the calf with a bottle.
Oh.
Wow.
If you're interested in seeing pictures, you can go on my Facebook site, Dan.
Dan, that would be a nice, Dan, that would be a nice, your dad taking that picture with your dad milking that calf and bottling milking the cow and bottling the calf would be a nice picture for Father's Day. That would be really cool.
Yeah, I would.
I'm here right now. Oh, my gosh. This is insane.
You see, those are the sweet occasions that you will capture forever in a card. And you can send it to the rest of the family as well so they could have some fun. Hey, this was Dad milking a calf at 85. Hey, what do you expect now, Dad? Chocolate milk?
Your dad's 85, 86 years old?
Yes. Huh?
Dad?
Your dad is 85 years old? Oh, that's
yes.
You. Sorry.
Yeah.
You look more like 45.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I was a baby. I am 49 years old. But it's great to see how still be in that good a shape at 85. I think he's in better shape than I am. He worked me, and I think I was more tired than he was.
Oh gosh!
Incredible.
City living compared to country living.
I did my share of country living too. I remember one time I was working cattle for a roping clinic. And I was pushing the cows from the back pen to the front pen, and I had a cup of coffee in my hand. I closed the gate, turned around, and this one cow got turned around and facing me, and that cow wanted to be on the gate on the other side of the gate that just closed, and just proceeded ahead of me. I got buck kicked, gored. Oh, that's fun. But anyway, I guess you had to be there.
Wow. Well, you didn't have to be there. I can imagine, Dan, but I never quite put you as the cowboy. But so you're expanding my perspective of you, Dan.
I'm actually done team roping and actually run cattle and all that stuff.
Well, look at you.
And had the mountain oysters and all that good stuff. So made steers out of bulls. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Good for you. See, we have some common background. I'm definitely kind of a city slicker now, but I have a country boy genetics and experience under my belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the old saying there. I'm a living proof. You can take the cowboy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the cowboy. And, it's, in fact, you know, when I was growing up, I lived on the ranch, and we did one of three. And when I woke up, we did one of three things: you fed something, you chased something, you give birth to something. And did that for a long time, and I couldn't wait. When I was even in junior high, I couldn't wait to move out of this area and move down to San Diego and become a beach bum. I did that for college, and didn't realize I sucked at surfing until I moved away. Came back over here and got back in the saddle again, and that's where I've been. So,
great. Well, great. So that's just where I was all weekend. So I just got back Sunday night from this trip and kind of getting back in doing some stuff. So.
Mhm.
So you know, we no more tornadoes while we were out there. That was good.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Had the tornado experience, but.
So that's all gone now. But we had it.
Yeah.
We've been having a couple of small earthquakes over in California, just enough to keep the natives settled. So, but that's been it's been kind of quiet. Now, oh, we're going to get a storm tomorrow too. One of three storms we get every year.
You get much rain in your area or not?
I'm in the desert. Yeah, we're lucky. You know, I think we get maybe 4 to 6 inches total for the whole year.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes we get it all at one time. So it's going to be interesting. It's supposed to be a drizzler. So, but other than that, you know, Dr. Deb and I were talking earlier about some of the changes with Facebook and all that stuff. Well, I think she's gotten over it. She's starting to call it, still calling it F-book, but I think she's smoothing over her sores that have healed a little bit.
Oh, boy. Yeah, right.
Well, I have finished up my website. I'm going to be reading a book called The Millionaire Messenger. A few of us are reading, a few friends, and we're going to do a little teach back to each other, kind of looking at how to take some of those principles and use the internet to further your expertise and your knowledge and get the word out for the kind of expertise you're trying to develop and build. And on a business end, I'm looking for possible partnerships with My Meeting Pro, with sites that people that do a lot of meeting facilitation training. So I've got some proposals out to Covey's organization. And I don't know if you've heard, but Dr. Stephen Covey, the author of The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, has been in intensive care this week. Mm-hmm. He had an accident riding his bicycle, and even though he was wearing a helmet, he was in intensive care. So that's been on Facebook, and I've learned about it. So that's kind of some of the things that's going on with me.
Interesting. I was going to say something I forgot.
I'm sure it'll come back to you.
Yeah. Oh, your friend that was selling his site, how did it turn out?
Which site?
Yeah, you see, you put a site on the, what's called?
Flickr. The website there.
Flippa.
Oh, Jonathan, that was doing some stuff on Flippa. You know, Jonathan, that went to work for Disgust.
Uh-huh.
I haven't really talked to him. I haven't found out where he stands with the stuff on Flippa, but now that you reminded me, I'll ask him next time I see him.
Oh, ask him next time and maybe come on the show next week. So.
Okay. Yep, I'll ask him.
Okay.
And then if you got about a minute left, any closing remarks, guys?
Well, I think we just need to close it. Thanks a lot for being on the show. Dale and Dr. Ev and Alyssa, if you're still listening, thanks for being on the show too. And tune in next week for Technology Tuesday. And keep on tune in now because you're going to get some of the best reggae music on the internet being pumped up by Dr. Ev. Until next week, we'll see you later and see you next Tuesday.
It's a Technology Tuesday with Dan Harley. And free businesses advice, we put money in your pocket. Yes, we certainly do that. In this hard time of economic needs, we put back money in your pocket. Did you hear that? The Caribbean Radio Show looking out for you. Call 661-467-2407. Yes, it's a Technology Tuesday with Dan Harley.